It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We are indeed off and running for this, the 26th day of September 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live, and that is where, of course, you go. If you'd like to be a part of the Merry Madcap, Wacky Zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza, that is The Horn chat room. Yes, indeed. Hop right in. Early arriver VT Blom will be there to greet you, as will I. Sparky takes Wednesdays off, not being into the whole religion goblolly thing, because, well, it is, after all, prayer meeting Wednesday on The Horn. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and we've got, we're going to be doing much of the same that we were doing Monday and Tuesday. I'm drawing ever closer to installing that bleach shower here in the studio. I'll just put the head of the shower head right above my own little noggin with a chain over here and just pull it periodically and drench myself in bleach to try to cleanse myself from the godforsaken Republican filth that they keep trying to drown us in. Oh, God, it's icky. Icky, bang, two boing, a thousand, or me. Well, okay, if that's how you feel about it, Laborman. Laborman in the chat room saying, the fucking psycho is babbling on and on. Oh, wait, maybe Laborman doesn't mean me. yeah, okay. So we got things to send out for this midweek, this hump day, this downhill to Thursday. Yes, we do. We have things to send out because we have subscribers. On this day, this 26th day of the month, we have 3-4 subscribers. Yes, so we send out thanks to Melton out in California. And we send out thanks to Michael in Madison. And we send out our enduring thanks to Patrick in Germany. And we send out our thanks to Peter in parts unknown. Thank you, all of you, for being subscribers and helping to take care of some of the about a quarter of the operating costs that we raise funds for every month, and which makes possible, when things end the way they should, makes possible a fundraising-free week of independent progressive radio, like smack dab of what we're in the middle of at this moment. So thank you. Thank you, each of you, so very, very much indeed. It is, it's hump day. It's middle of the week. Downhill to Friday and all of that. But, of course, brethren and sistren, it is ever so much more than that. Oh, glory! It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Brethren and sistren, I'm gonna resist the urge to go and find out what the orangutan is haranguing about. I'm told that he's giving a press conference or something in New York, and, well, we'll just have to find out later what the spirochetes had to say this evening. Because, brethren and sistren, we can't interrupt the work of the Lord for just because the spirochetes are singing each to each there in between the ears of Donald J. Trump. No, we can't. We can't because, the prayer meeting Wednesday obsequies are far more important than something as plain and as blasé as, him. And brethren and sistren, I got to tell you, oh, glory. Every now and then, I put in a special request to the little old blue-haired ladies there in the fellowship hall kitchen. I do. And today I did. Usually they pick whatever they want, and I know better to mess with the little old blue-haired ladies, but I went down earlier this morning. I went down to the fellowship hall kitchen, and I said, you know, it's been a long time, oh, glory, since we had chicken livers here for prayer meeting Wednesday. And the little old blue-haired ladies looked at me, and I saw a twinkle in their eyes, and they said, you're right, Brother Bob, you're right. It has been a long time since we've done chicken livers for prayer meeting Wednesday. Is that what you'd like, Brother Bob? And I said, oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, I would. And they said, well, let it be so. And thus it was that they hauled out the big old pressure fryer that they usually use for the fried chicken. And instead, they did a big old humongous mess of chicken livers. And they did that spicy, garlicky, black peppery, throw a little hot pepper in it kind of coating that they do on it. And they cut up some home fries and skillet fried them in the iron skillet. And they made some white cream, black pepper gravy to go with it all. And some homemade ranch and a nice green salad, and there was they even hauled out some beets and warmed them up for the vegetables, and I want you to know that it was a delicious meal there in the fellowship hall, and didn't hardly anybody go ew livers, because they were just so doggone delicious. Uh-huh. Oh, it was amazing. And then dessert-wise, well, as far as dessert was concerned, the little old blue-haired ladies just work their magic and stay with a standard. And they made a simple yellow cake and covered it with a just dark, bitter chocolate ganache. That's what the hoity-toities call it, ganache. We call it icing, and it was the deacons. Well, once again, there wasn't a crumb left. Talking about the cake, not the deacons, because they knew they could load up because they weren't going to have to do any plate passing this evening. They knew that they were just going to be able to take it, just loaf the whole prayer meeting Wednesday through. So they just ambled on up, kind of full of themselves, and chicken livers too, for that matter, and stood out there in the parking lot smoking with the sinners, lighting them one right off in the other, and putting them out there on the parking lot asphalt, leaving the dirty work for Brother Deacon Gerald to have to clean up later. He's the chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee, you know. But shortly thereafter, you know, they was feeling kind of froggy, the deacons were. But Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door. It's rainy here and sort of gray and miserable. And as a consequence, when she pressed the button on the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod, it crackled right smart like, and all of a sudden all the piss and vinegar was gone right out of the deacons, and they decided it was time to hot foot it through the vestibule, past that aging bowl of desiccating butter mints, down the center aisle, and then with a smirk on every deacon face, They just plop their deacon bulk right down there in the chairs down front. And they know, and they knew that they didn't, they weren't going to have to fool with the heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined offering plates. And they just sat there with them smirks on their faces, sort of daring me to get them with the zip gun. Just a quick, and just daring me. Oh, they can be so insouciant, the deacons can, when they know they don't have to work. I'm a-telling you, I am. But brethren and sistren, that's where we find ourselves. And it's time for me to call the minister of music up for the offertory hymn, even though we don't have any offerings to be seeking. Damn it, boys. Look, just because you ain't got to work don't mean you get to take your shoes and socks off and wiggle your toes in the front row of the cathedral. You confounded deacons are getting out of hand. But, Brother Minister of Music, if you'd come up here while I'm going to have to get the zip gun out after all. I swear, these deacons, give them an inch. Yeah.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambs and Ivy, a Kiddly Dabby too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Oh, brethren and sistren, hallelujah, I love you. And just to let you know, Brother Deacon Asa, he doesn't do the deacon work down front. He does his deaconing back in the computer room at the Cathedral of Common Sense. He gave a quick whistle and irritated one of the deacons in his reverie and made him come up and he brought the plate down. And he says, I know you're not fundraising this week, Reverend Minister Kincaid, but I'm tossing this 20 in the velvet lined collection plate because I know them extra bleach bills are about sending you to the poorhouse. And I want you to know, brethren and sister, and I don't use the fancy name brand bleach around here. We use the off-brand, no-name stuff because it's all just sodium hypochlorite, and one's as good as the next. But I tell you what, we have been going through the bleach. Ain't no doubt about it. So thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, up in the booth. Thank you very much indeed. Brethren and sister, I am calling upon you right now. I'm asking you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and wiggle and waddle and scrunch and waggle and be careful where you stick your pew in the pews. so that you don't run anybody out of the Cathedral of Common Sense and, hope, glory, cheat them of their salvation. Yes, and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees, brethren and sistren, at the altar, and lay your hands, amen, upon the subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. Amen. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Fixer, Vicar Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mufti, Bob Kincaid, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn live. Amen from the Cathedral of Common Sense. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren and sistren, I want you to know here as we begin this evening's study, I want you to know that we're still going to have some of the same nasty business that attends that attends the nomination of this satanic spawn who seeks to be a member of the Supreme Court of the United States. It's practically unavertible. But brethren and sisters, I want you to know that the entire world has not gone mad, and some people, brethren and sisters, still have their eyes on things that really matter. That's right, brethren and sisters. The world could be going to hell all around him, but Gordon Klingenschmidt out there in Colorado Springs, Colorado, he knows what really matters. And he prays about it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Tell us about it, Brother Klingenschmidt. No, you're not worried about any Brett Kavanaugh or Brett Easton Ellis for that matter. No, you're not worried about Mark Judge, and you're not worried about that spirochete Socrates in the White House, because you know what's driving it all. The homosexuality. That's right.
The puppets are simply puppets. They are not perverse.
Not a puppet.
And I think Mark Saltzman, I mean, if we were to take a moment and discern the spirits here.
Ooh, we're going to discern the spirits. You know what? I was over to the liquor store. I make sure that the deacons aren't looking and whatnot when I walk in and everything. That's why I go through the back door of the liquor store. But I discerned some spirits over there. You know, we try to consume as much organic as we possibly can here. And lo and behold, I discerned some spirits there at the liquor store this week that was organic, certified USDA organic spirits, and what was cucumber vodka. Now, I purchased one of the, you know, they got those little sacramental bottles, the little tiny ones. It's about an ounce and a quarter or something like that. And they had them on sale for 69 cents. And so I dug into my pocket and I got me one of them 69. Now, I don't do that sort of thing anymore, but I do periodically use something like that for anointing purposes for my sore and achy muscles. Because my muscles do get sore and achy from time to time, and Agnes will kindly, take a little bit on her fingertips and rub my sore and achy neck there. And I want to tell you that the organic cucumber vodka was absolutely, I discerned that it was absolutely fan-freaking-tastic. I want you to know, glory, brethren and sisters, I discerned that organic cucumber vodka, well, would probably go very well in a glass with, say, a few drops of tonic water and maybe a drop or two of bitters and a lemon wedge. I discerned that through the powers of the Holy Spirits. I done did. So that's my spirit discerning, but I think Chappie's going to discern something different. I really think he'd lighten up a little bit if he'd discern a little bit of that organic cucumber vodka, and it's organic. You can't feel real bad about it now, can you?
His own sexuality upon beloved children's puppets is actually trying to recruit children into his perverse lifestyle so that he can eventually recruit them to become what he is.
What, Edith, huh? Recruiting? Recruiting? There's a homosexual recruiting station? You'd be dipped. Oh, dear. I'm all of a sudden, I'm worried about our brother Matt out in San Francisco. Matt, please tell me the windows weren't down and you weren't listening live again in your car. Tell him it's just the news, okay? Okay, Matt? We worry about you. I'm a little lost here with all this recruiting. Sergeant Carter, I want to join the Marines. Huh? You know, I just noticed he's got a backdrop of the world behind him, you know, sort of in outline. And there's twinkly things over the ocean and whatnot. But I just noticed that apparently it's a map of the world from a long damn time ago, because Sicily has not yet separated from the main part of the boot of Italy. And Corsica, what should one would think would be Corsica, is actually about the size of Ceylon. What are we calling Ceylon these days? You know, that island down there, you know the one I'm talking about. Huh. Maybe this explains his antediluvian ways and attitudes. Maybe he's broadcasting from 50 or 60 or 127 million years ago. Kind of would explain the brow ridge, too, if you want to get right down to it. Now, all right, we're going to sort out that, because I got lost in spirit discerning. That's been known to happen. Bert and Ernie. Down there in hell, the soul of Jerry Falwell is very upset right now, because Chappie is working his side of the street. You know, back before he shuffled off to get the eternal daily pineapple up the ass, the reverse pineapple, that is, Jerry Falwell was real worked up about Tinky Winky some years back. Quite sure that Tinky Winky was just gay, 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 gay. And I reckon since Jerry went off to get his eternal reverse pineapple, every second is a new day in hell, by the way. There's really no let up on the pineapples. I guess Chappie feels like there's no gimmick infringement problem in the afterlife, or from the afterlife to here to the hereafter. I would recommend that he read the book of Job there in that book that he fetishizes so much but so seldom peruses. Because, you know, you never know when God and Satan are going to get together over a little brunch and decide to just fuck with somebody, you know, like they did in Job. A note coming in from Brother Ron in Raleigh, listening out there amongst the shut-ins. Tell me, Reverend Bob, could you tell me what Chappie uses to do his spirit discerning? Tea leaves, crystal ball, sheep entrails, bones, what inquiring minds need to know. I'm asking for a friend. Well, I'd be happy to do that. The fact of the matter is, I have it on good authority. In other words, the Holy Spirit has done told me that there's nothing special that he uses for his discerning of the spirits except his taste buds. The fact of the matter is, Chappie doesn't go for your good, God-fearing, upstanding, righteous, Bible-believing, organic cucumber vodka or none of that sort of spirits. He goes straight to the rot gut. That's right. That's right. I received a communication from Bartkop in the Great Hereafter, who told me that Chappie is a remorseless drinker, a remorseless consumer of Cuervo and anything, Two Fingers, Montezuma, that kind of stuff. Yeah, the real rot gut Mexican gasoline. That's the spirits that he discerns with. Sri Lanka, yes, thank you. Thank you, Ron and Raleigh. Sri Lanka, the only country outside the Commonwealth that has English as an official language. And now we know something new this evening. Yes, Sri Lanka. I don't know, why didn't I know Sri Lanka? I was just confused because it was sitting there just immediately off to the west of Italy and just a cut, hop, skip, and a jump south of Marseille and Lyon. Gets a little confusing that way sometimes. But that's, courtesy of a message from the great beyond, let's go back and see if we can make, we're not going to make any sense out of this, but we at least might as well get the whole giggle.
The puppets are simply puppets. They are not perverse. And I think Mark Saltzman, if we were to take a moment and discern the spirits here, Mark Saltzman, by projecting his own sexuality upon beloved children's puppets, is actually trying to recruit children into his perverse lifestyle so that he can eventually recruit them to become what he is. And the sad part of this is that if homosexuals, because they don't have their own children, they have to recruit the children of heterosexual couples in order to continue and propagate their own population of available sex partners, they are perverting and recruiting children by making these false allegations.
With the recruits. I don't know, but I've been told. Wall sconce treatments have to coordinate with the drapes. That doesn't even rhyme, goddamn. Well, thank you. Hung like Jesus with a message for me in the congregation. Brother Bob, you're in rare form tonight. I'm trying to eat. I don't know quite what that means, hung like Jesus, but don't stop trying. You gotta make the effort, Back to Bill in the Weather Center.
And that is the demonic spirit inside of you, Mark Saltzman, who are targeting children for your own pleasure.
One of these days somebody's going to sue Chappie. And maybe, just maybe someday, he won't be able to hide behind the lace skirting of the First Amendment. He's openly attacking a man for saying that, Bert and Ernie are gay. I received a question about this sometime last week, and I said I really hadn't taken time to consider the details of puppet sex, but apparently Chappie has, because Chappie has a filthy, filthy, filthy mind. Never occurred to him that Bert and Ernie could just be a couple of gay puppets who hold hands and walk in the park. They're puppets. They don't walk anywhere, but you know what I mean. Note coming from up in the booth. Brother Deacon Asa says, the answer to Ron and Raleigh's question would be Old English, Colt 45, or even perhaps Black Label Supreme if Chappie's feeling like splurging. Wait a minute. Okay. If he's splurging. Listen, Brother Deacon Asa, I don't want to hear any more about Chappie splurging anywhere or on anything. This is bad enough as it is, okay? I mean, just because we're not dealing with Kavanaugh doesn't mean that there's not a bleach shower somewhere down the road for me. Well, and a little factoid correction, courtesy of Brother Reverbo. English is also still the official language of Belize. How's about that? So, we've got... Okay. Make a list, will you? Steve in New York, subject line, I blame the heterosexuals. 100% of all LGBTQ people are the result of heterosexual activity. And that is undeniably true. You want to know what's more terrifying? Y'all do this to me. Y'all make me do this. Chappie Gordon Klingenschmidt is a direct result of heterosexual sex. Yeah, if you just take a minute, you can see it in your mind's eye, and then you'll want to take a stick and poke out your mind's eye and wash the socket out and bleach. Yep, you just take a minute and you think about Mr. Klingenschmidt sitting there rutting away on Mrs. Klingenschmidt and her hollering while she sort of got her eyes rolled back in her head, looking up at the ceiling thinking, beige. I'll paint the ceiling beige. But she's on autopilot and she's just laying there for Mr. Klingenschmidt's benefit, hollering, yes, yes, oh God, I'm your sister, I'm your sister, I'm your sister. And that's how you wind up with little Klingenschmidt's. And even a million units of penicillin won't fix it, no. Ron in Raleigh says, do you mean to tell me that Chappie is in the thrall of demon rum? Lay your healing hands on him, Brother Bob. I wouldn't lay your healing hands on him, Brother Ron. By God, I ain't got many of them, but I got me some standards. Like all people all the time writing in, fuck him. No, not with yours. Yes, further geographic information coming along, courtesy of Flavio. Belize was formerly British Honduras. Yes. Yes. Whew. There's moments, there's times I miss being able to just dive head first into something bottled in bond. It's been pure torment for me ever since Ron up in the soon-to-be frozen north informed me that the mash bill for Old Weller Antique 107 is the identical exact same mash bill as for Pappy Van Wrinkle or whatever it is that gets people so head up. Mm-hmm. But I can't. I just can't. Because I don't like missing 2 weeks of the program whilst eating handfuls of opioids. I can't. So much like Alex there in that scene from Clockwork Orange, I just kind of got my eyeballs all propped open there, and I just get to stare in wide-eyed horror at the mind-bending madness of it all. Chappie's worried about the recruiters and the recruitees. This was supposed to be a break from having to talk about it. Oh, well, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Up on the cross, Bob, and get nailing, pal. James in Illinois. A hold up there about heterosex. You've never heard of either David Crosby or a turkey baster? Take it easy on the damn turkeys. Thanksgiving is not that far away, James. Meanwhile, over in far Delaware, Idaho, Alaska, subject line, little clingin' shits. God damn it, Bob, I'm already drunk. I don't need those Polaroids in my head. Hey, you buys the ticket, you takes the ride, Megan. Clarity. Wait a minute. Clarity says, I renamed today's program Bleach Blanket Bingo Night. Hashtag I bleach or die. You try saying that real fast. Bleach blanket bingo. You'll feel like you've been discerning the cucumber vodka real fast. You will. Oh, but back to Chappie.
And that, of course, was condemned by Jesus himself. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea.
Yeah, see, there's nothing in there about being gay. You got to jump through a bunch of hoops to get to where Chappie is. Well, you got to jump through a bunch of hoops and probably join the 100 kegs of Old English 800 or die club with him and Brett Kavanaugh. God damn it! See, it Captain, they put things in our ears. Jesus didn't say anything about being gay. He did at one point in time offer a comment about the really weird people who dedicate themselves to Cybele, I guess, and went through that ritual where it was sort of like the three-legged race of the ancient world, where your hopeful adherents would. We've talked about this. They'd start at the starting line, and they'd run up to somebody's house, and they'd cut their own testicles off and throw them in the doorway, and the person in the house is supposed to then take them care of them and keep them from bleeding to death, and then they could go on and be dedicated priests of the Temple of Cybele. But sometimes folks wasn't home, and that's when you knew that Cybele just was simply, you're going to die. Yeah, so Jesus talked about a little bit about the people who castrate themselves, or maybe the moil slips, or I don't know. Hung like Jesus says, Brother Bob, is this what being temporarily financially secure sounds like? I wouldn't know. Of course, you know, with Brother Chappie Klingenschmidt there, it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. You kind of wish he'd take some of that tax-free dough and invest in a better wardrobe. But, well, he doesn't have a lot to work. You know, you get the idea just from the looks of him. Somewhere along the way, somebody hurt him. He probably went cruising the gay hookup spots there in Busted Knuckle or Colorado Springs or whatever, and couldn't find anybody, and he's been mad about it from the rejection ever since. Oh well. But no, there's nothing about nothing. No, granted, he would like to drown gay people in the depths of the sea, but that's not what that verse is about.
End quote. Let's pray about this. Would you pray with me?
No.
Father in heaven, we pray.
Shamalama ding dong.
Protect the children of American culture, especially those who watch beloved programs
Bush
like
Bada, to my fork.
Street. And Father, protect them from the homosexualization of the liberal culture who wants to reach every child possible for their own pleasure. And Father, we pray against that sin of recruiting and defiling. Father, we pray for the protection of every innocent child whether they watch public programs or Christian programs, Father, we pray that America will protect their children in Jesus' name.
You notice he never prays for children to have a hot fucking meal. You ever notice that he prays for children not to be cold and alone in a concentration camp? You ever notice that? You ever notice that he doesn't pray for children to not be sexually abused by their heterosexual parents? You ever notice that? You ever notice that he doesn't pray for children just to have a happy upbringing? A happy childhood? Never prays for children to have appropriate access to appropriate medical care? Never prays for that. Nope. He's just worried about him watching Bert and Ernie. Because apparently his God is very, very decidedly shallow. And driven not by love, but by hatred. Now, if I participated in his religion or any religion, I might be inclined to pray, "Dear Sky Spook, please make all the little children happy. Please, benevolent Sky Spook, don't let the little children in Yemen starve because of what the United States and Saudi Arabia are doing. Please, loving Sky Spook, do something to make sure no more little Syrian children wash up dead on the beach, Sky Spook. Because Sky Spook, we were watching and we saw when you did that. Stop it, Sky Spook. Stop it. Please, little Sky Spook, move the hearts and souls, or what passes, the empty spaces that pass for souls, of people like Donald Trump and Kirstjen Nielsen and Mike Pence and Stephen Miller and all those ugly, hateful fucks. Please move them to stop kidnapping children and sticking them in dog cages in concentration camp, Sky Spook. Please, Sky Spook, make sure that every child that goes to sleep tonight has a roof over its little head and is either cooled from the heat of the sun or warmed against the frigid night. Do this, Sky Spook, and I'll believe in you. Every single child on planet Earth, Sky Spook. Or else it would be better if a millstone had been hung about your neck and you thrown into the sea. Please, Sky Spook, protect all the little children from all the pervy, filthy, malignant, violent, disgusting, abusive priests and preachers and brothers and pastors and youth ministers, Sky Spook. Nope. Chappie's never going to pray that prayer because it doesn't have any economic impact on his tax-free bottom line. meanwhile, Megan, so this dude sounds like a combination between Silent Hill and Deliverance. Steve from Georgistan, late to the party. Bob, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, I don't think there's any way to TiVo this and restart from the beginning in real time, Steve, but all I can do is suggest that maybe ask around there and maybe pop into the chat room and ask around. And yes, Parkway, you're right. They're driven by fear. All hatred is really just fear. Well, hell, says Brother Ron in Raleigh. None of that other shit is any of Chappie's beeswax. He's just fixated on the gay for whatever reason. Did you hear? Marmalade Mugabe castigated Ron for being the chief sponsor of terrorism in the world. Wait a minute, I can't even read that sentence without laughing. Wonder how the dirt poor citizens of Yemen feel about that. Well, I know. But then again, that's the Saudis, our partner in peace, that we're selling the weapons to, that they're using to starve all those little Yemeni children. Yeah, because God's love, y'all. Steve from Georgistan, all around great guy. Late to the party update. What the fuck are you talking about? Is the anesthesia giving me a flashback? No, you're in real time, Steve. It's prayer meeting Wednesday. And this is, of course, prayer meeting Wednesday stuff. So, you know, good old Chappie out there with his eye on the ball. But this is not to say, of course, that the other ministers of the gospel, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and everything, that the other ministers of the gospel are not hard at work on the. Well, no. Before we go there, I'm gonna try to stay as close to Kavanaugh free as I can for just a little bit longer, so I don't feel have to start feeling quite. You know, I don't feel filthy because we're talking about how filthy Brett Kavanaugh is. I feel filthy because we're sort of recounting how filthy he is. And you can't do that without having it live a little bit inside your noggin. But before we go there, and rest assured, brethren and sistren, we're going there. Oh, yes, we are. Let's check in with Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet. Yeah, we've been hearing from him a good bit lately. And I thought you'd like to know that I guess since the success of former liquor supply officer, son of privilege, son of a senator, Marion Pat Robertson's campaign to torment the people of North Carolina in order to save his assets in Virginia Beach, I thought you might like to know that somebody else is working that corner. Just like Chappie decided to work Jerry Falwell's Tinky Winky. Well, that just sounds filthy all by itself, doesn't it? See what happens? Working his Tinky Winky. Well, thank you, Goddess of Irony. You shouldn't have. Now I got that to deal with. Isn't it? I have to kill that brain cell real quick. Lord, would you kind of like to have a? You'd kind of like to have a doobie. Does anybody say doobie anymore? Kind of like to have a doobie about as long as your arm and as big around, just stuffed with, I don't know, white widow or something, or, you know, bubble gum parsnip, rutabaga, peppermint stick, kush, or whatevs. But no, Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet, has some late-breaking information on Hurricane Florence and what God did with it.
Well, I think what's happening is, Sheila, behind the scenes, and again, I know people are going to say this is way out there. I had three, possibly four things that the Lord showed me on this weather stuff, the California fires. The Lord showed me, and people were saying, are you crazy? I had it literally vetted by 146-minute video by Dane Wigington. Now, if nobody's ever heard of...
Literally. Friends and neighbors, could we take a moment to talk about the word literally? It literally means something really happened. Something really did something. Something actually did it, not metaphorically, not in the form of a simile, not comparatively, but literally, actually. So a video, which has no agency whatsoever, literally did something for Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet. Wonder what it was.
Dane, I highly recommend you go to his website, geoengineeringwatch.org.
Don't
Every
go.
Answer you want, you can spend 6 months on that website. This man has the proof of what's been going on, and he even vetted and verified that, yes, they have
vetted.
Technology.
That's two vets.
Steerum, this, that, and the other. I'm not so sure with some of the stuff that was going on.
Yeah, that's two vets, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't trade you two vets for one Ferrari, but that's me. Damn things are all plastic and only good for straight line running. Don't handle worth a shit. Oh, now I'm going to get emails from the Corvette fans. Meanwhile, back to Chappie just for a minute. Ron in Raleigh says, I think Chappie has his eye on the balls, if you catch my drift. If I etch K, you're if Dre? Why, S, yay, I, Uday. And Kuse.
Down that it was a Cat 5 or Cat 4 or 5 coming in. This thing was coming in hot, yeah. And then God said not. And so I think it's twofold. One, I think that the Army of God is doing their job and warring against this thing. But what we have to realize is that there's technology behind this. We've got to get to the root. We've got to be praying against the technology behind this.
Everybody wants to get in on Alex Jones's shtick. If I was Alex Jones and I'd been banned from YouTube and banned from Twitter and banned from Spotify and banned from SoundCloud and banned from everywhere that I could put my broadcast up, I think I'd be a little bit pissed off now. Because all these jackals are jumping in there and working his jellyfish monkey hybrids in Hong Kong angle. Yeah, you got to pray against the technology, pray against the weather machines. Not to put too fine a point on it, but what is that what it is? Because see, there's no money in the actual message of Jesus Christ, and I'm reminded in moments like this of the words of our late great friend Peter Godbold, who said, "I love Jesus, but I'm no Christian." Because to be a Christian is to call yourself numbered among these freaks. While it was accused of being radical in its day, the message of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, was a pretty simple one. Let's all stop being quite so shitty to each other. And it was radical enough to get him killed. Hey, y'all love each other. If you turn the cheek as soon as, you know, the guy will stop hitting you. I don't necessarily know if he was right about that, but it's an admirable sentiment toward nonviolence. Not passivity, but nonviolence. And you see, Y'all, everybody, be nice to each other. Doesn't have a whole lot of percentage in terms of being able to build mega churches and buy jets and all that kind of shit that these miserable fuckers do. And in point of fact, when you get right down to it, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi, didn't think much of rich people. Tell them things like, well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. That wasn't going to happen. But Jesus, I'm so rich I can use extra virgin olive oil in my lamps. I don't want to use that skanky old fish oil to light my lamps. Well, that's okay. Then enjoy your light and your warmth here on earth, because you ain't going to have none in the hereafter. But there's no money in that. There's not even any point in being tax-free. Hallelujah. So instead, people like Mark Firefighter Prophet Taylor winds up talking about the weather machines that exist in the thin gray settlings between his ears that pass for brains. And starts talking about how God downgraded a hurricane that killed upwards of 50 people, maybe more by the time we're done counting, has released an absolute toxic stew of filth and poison into and onto the land and people of North and South Carolina. But somehow that's a downgrade. Because dumbass Mark Firefighter Prophet Taylor doesn't understand that the category of a hurricane has only to do with the wind speed. And not the massive amount of climate change-driven water that these things suck up and then dump inland and raise all manner of havoc and hell. God damn him. And the Emerys and the Marvelines are sitting out there going, I wonder where they keep that weather machine. I wonder if it's underground at the bunker at the Greenbrier, or maybe over to that there Boy Scout camp that they won't let nobody go on to. Yeah, Brother Steve in New York with a note says, hate versus love. Love motivates one to do good without payment. Hate motivates one to pay to get rid of other things and people. Well, that clears things up rather nicely, Brother Steve. And we're only about halfway done with all this paranoid bullshit from Firefighter Prophet Taylor.
The weather stuff. They have the technology to create these storms, earthquakes, all this stuff. This guy verifies every bit of it and exposes every bit of it.
Yeah,
Wait just a damn minute. I thought the homosexuals were in charge of the earthquakes and the drag queens were in charge of the volcanoes. I wish you people would get straight with your fucking doctrine.
I've had him on in the past, and I'm going to say Dane's very good, just FYI.
Absolutely, and even Kevin Schiff introduces him, which gives him even more validity. But I think if you noticed yesterday, all of the we had 13 observatories worldwide went down, their cameras went down. That's a little strange, don't you think? And all of a sudden, this thing gets downgraded to a Cat 1.
Little curious, Mark.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that maybe the president and the White House were sending a message to the cabal that you're no longer in control, that we now are controlling this.
Okay, so the president and the White Hats are responsible for those 50 deaths, or whatever the number is, and climbing? The president and the White Hats are in charge of the overtopped hog feces lagoons running out all over the countryside of North Carolina? The president and the White Hats are in charge of that, are they? But the cabal were trying to keep the hog shit lagoons and the hog piss lagoons and the hog antibiotic lagoons and the Giardia and the E. coli and the Salmonella from getting all over the place. but the president and the white hats did away with that? You know, the only solace is the fact that this is pure, unadulterated madness. Oh, I'm sorry, Steve, thank you for the reminder. Don't forget the gay trees, please. Yes, the gay trees are out there causing all the forest fires. They're in charge of that, yes. And I don't know, maybe the ants watched Bert and Ernie and all the little ants became gay trees. Fuck, who can keep up? And this is what they've got instead of actually preaching what Jesus was about. I saw an ad during my filthy morning time, you know, Morning Joe. And it was the announcement or something in the auditorium says, "This man will now announce the end to all your business problems." And it's this nerdy-looking guy who walks out in the middle of the stage, clicks a button on a PowerPoint controller, and it says, "Ask Markham," and he turns around and he walks off stage. Well, Christianity, at least the way it ought to be, is that simple. Love each other. Goodbye. Ain't rocket science. No variables here. No equations to make balance. Love each other. Beep. But again, it's not a big dollar. Jeremy in Vermont says, Jimmy Swaggart, in the words of the prophet Swaggart, "Give till it hurts and then give some more. I have sinned against you." Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Alexander pointing out. This fire marshal prophet is an ass. Yes, he is.
So I'm wondering if they were somehow went into this storm technology-wise where they couldn't see it with the cameras from these observatories and kind of took this thing down a little bit. Now, I don't know that to be the truth, but what I'm saying is it's awfully curious that some of this stuff was going on.
Mm-hmm. Just asking the questions, just teaching the controversy, that's all. And some of this comes out of a thing that I noticed, it was actually 2 weekends back. I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he was telling me about this swirling controversy that had all the conspiracy goblollies going half out of their minds. Because the solar observatory in New Mexico had been mysteriously shut down. And so, I don't know where your mind goes when you hear that a whole bunch of law enforcement's driven up in law enforcement vehicles and people got out and they're talking to their wrists and they're running around in the buildings and the solar observatory gets shut down. And, well, apparently a lot of people immediately said, "Wow, the aliens have arrived." And that's the only reason they could possibly be shutting down the solar observatory, because we know the aliens are here. And the controversy swirled and swirled. And are they here? What do they look like? Do they want to eat us? Are they bringing world peace? No, they're not doing that, because we'd just fucking kill them if they did that. No, it turns out, they had to wait for about a week or so, but no, they came in and they shut down the solar observatory because the janitor there had been downloading and uploading kiddie porn using the solar observatory's servers. Oh, sure, that's a likely explanation. Yeah, so what an excuse. They expect us to believe that? By God, I've seen them. I got about 3/4 of a way down a bottle of organic cucumber-flavored vodka the other night, And I met one of the amorphous, multi-limbed aliens from Norblap 9, and they're here. And they probed me, and I know it was real because the next morning I had a terrible, terrible headache from getting probed. Mm-hmm. We're not okay. As a nation, we're not okay. And breaking news, courtesy of our buddy Sparky. Number four. Earlier today, we got the third allegation of sexual misconduct against skeevy Brett Kavanaugh. And now the Senate is reportedly probing. Number four. NBC News reporting, because sooner or later, you know, we're past the top of the hour, so now we can get skeevy. Now we can start dealing with the filthy human being that is Brett Kavanaugh. Reading straight from the NBC News report. The Senate Judiciary Committee is inquiring about at least one additional allegation of misconduct against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, according to a letter obtained by NBC News and multiple people familiar with the process. Republican Senate investigators asked Kavanaugh about the new complaint during a phone call on Tuesday between Kavanaugh and committee staff. Sources told NBC News that Kavanaugh denied the allegation in the letter during the call, and a spokesman for the committee declined to comment. A Republican aide on the committee said the conversation took place shortly after noon. While Republican staff posed questions to Kavanaugh, their Democratic counterparts were also on the call but did not ask any questions. It comes from an anonymous complaint sent to Republican Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado. Says Kavanaugh physically assaulted a woman he socialized with in the Washington, D.C. area in 1998 while he was inebriated. The sender of the complaint described an evening involving her own daughter, Kavanaugh, and several friends in 1998. When they left the bar under the influence of alcohol, they were all shocked when Brett Kavanaugh shoved her friend up against the wall very aggressively and sexually. There were at least four witnesses, including my daughter. The writer of the letter provided no names but said the alleged victim was still traumatized and decided to remain anonymous herself. NBC reached out to the White House for comment. Bupkis. But here's the interesting thing. There was a little, you know, Trump likes to come across like a tough guy. But in the end, you can drive him like a bus because he has no moral center. He is, as the anonymous note to the New York Times put it, he is amoral. And so now, as of today, he said that, I'd consider withdrawing Kavanaugh's nomination if I thought he was guilty of something like this. Which is a whole lot different from, well, she was drunk, she doesn't really remember, it's a con game, a C-O-N, he spelled it for everybody, a con, C-O-N, con. Mm-hmm. Pushed her up against a wall. I'm so glad he's a good Christian. Let's go back to the mailbag for a minute here. Megan says, you mean the love thy neighbor as thyself thingy and the what comes out of your mouth and your heart are the most important commandments? Yeah, those passages in the Bible, Bob, because the evangelicals seem to forget them with frightening regularity. Well, you know, evangelicals, nominees to the Supreme Court. Right. And look, We're in a time of extreme cognitive dissonance in this country. On the one hand, we have slowly but surely, and despite desperate attempts on the part of the church to smear the victims and get them to remain silent, we've gotten to the point where we believe children when, even as adults, they tell us that they were fucked by priests. And it's usually little boys who've grown into men that we believe. But somehow or another, we have a hard time believing that women were sexually abused by boys who were taught in schools run by the kinds of priests who fuck little boys, and thus cognitive dissonance. Root and branch. Root and branch. Does bucket doctrine work better with bucket pudding? Everything's better with bucket pudding, Bill, in PA. James, God and weather. I remember when these jackasses said that God punished New Orleans and sent that killer Hurricane Katrina. God's aim was for shit because he didn't do much to the French Quarter but drowned the fuck out of the lower ninth. He made us all experts on NOLA geography. Thanks for that, God. Yeah. And then there was the hurricane that struck over around Corpus Christi and South Padre Island, where the only working telephone that people could use to call out and let their loved ones know that they were still alive was at the gay bar. You'd almost think the white wingers are completely misinterpreting all of this. Subject line, Solar Observatory, courtesy of Jeremy in Vermont. They land a Black Hawk helicopter with well-armed men in it, but Nevada has the largest issue of people producing child porn, and they did it to protect the workers because the Mexican cartels traffic in it and threaten them prior to the raid. Wow, I didn't know about all that. Meanwhile, Steve from Georgistan, all-around great guy, is catching up. Whew, he says, now I feel better. Could you please pass the bleach? I don't have any to spare. You're going to have to go down to the Wiggling Pig and get that Wiggling Pig off-brand bleach. Just make sure it's the same percentage of sodium hypochlorite as the name brand bleach. You don't have, I mean, if you want the lemon scented or the mountain fresh or the lovely lavender, you can spring for it, but I can't afford it. It's not like this is some highfalutin prosperity gospel program that fronts up things like Gulfstream 5s. Just ain't. Meanwhile, Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, Bob, it's because these snake oil salesmen fuckwads don't give a shit about children. Well, precisely. They don't care about them until they can give to them. Root and branch, Megan says, then maybe the symbol for the Democrats during the 2018 midterm should be the burning bush. Ah, now there's Marty getting into the spirit of discerning the spirits. What? No bleach? Fine. Pass the rum then. Ha ha. Yarr. Mm-hmm. Okay, so God's not very good at downgrading hurricanes. And in all seriousness, there is a conversation taking place inside the meteorological scientific community as to whether or not we might ought to figure out a different way to categorize hurricanes, because people go, oh, it's just a category one and we don't need to bug out or nothing. And then you get Florence, which is doing unprecedented amounts of damage. See how it works? Yeah. So, how would you categorize it? By size? by square miles of or the by the, I don't know, the diameter of the storm or the radius from the eye? Look at me remembering my geometric terminology. Well, now, pi r squared. Yeah. Yo, let's go over to the phones. I'm gonna need help scrubbing my brain out. And you know what? Our buddy Todd might be just the guy to do it. Hey, Todd. Oh, Todd.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Who's that? Todd.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Don't do that to me. At least he didn't start the call. I don't know why we can't give Barack Obama. I mean, I don't know why we can't give Donald Trump a chance. That Barack Obama got a chance. We had to listen to him.
Get out of my head, man. I was you know what, close. You have no idea. That's really why I called, honestly. Because I there's so much going on. But here, let me give you the update here. The river, they're not going to overflow as much as they thought they were. But it's raining now. And we're upstate. So it's raining. And it's more rain. I look at radar.
It ain't done nothing. I feel like I'm living a line from the Bruce Springsteen song from Born in the USA. I'm on fire. Now I work down at the is it I'm on fire? Now I work down at the car wash where all it ever does is rain. All it ever does is rain. I mean, that's all it just, you know. And it's not even Florence rain now. It's just rain that's kind of blowing across the continent.
The whole, you know, this is not why I called either. But in, where was it? Maybe Iceland. I think it was Greenland. Maybe Greenland or Iceland. A huge piece of a, you know, glacier broke off today. But that's not why I called. I really called because I had the opportunity to, I don't know why, but somehow, I didn't even know that Trump was going to give he was going to give a briefing, a new, like, take questions. So I couldn't believe it was live. I thought that was like a replay at first.
It was just a harangue, wasn't it? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, wait. No. It was more than a harangue. Bob, that man is absolutely going.
Is he getting ready to nuke Montenegro? Because, you know, it's got Negro in it.
Listen, he is losing his mind. He was rambling. He was begging. He just sounded insane. It was so pathetic. And the reporters are feeding. I could feel it. And they could feel it. Then they started asking him more questions. They were like, wow, he's going to answer that question? Okay, who's going to jump in now? You know, I mean, it was like a frenzy. It was really strange, but he was unraveled. He's unraveling. The pressure has gotten to this guy. He is done. He is so done. I mean, and thank God this Kavanaugh thing's unraveling. Because that's just too much, and I think people have forgotten it's not a legal thing. It's just like there's too many nails in his coffin. Like, come on, that's not the only person on earth that can be a Supreme Court judge.
Well, at this point, okay. So here's a question. I got a couple of questions. I think we need to delve into here, Todd. But here's one of them. If of course, this isn't true. I didn't get drunk and dry and shove a woman up against a wall and try to get my finger under her skirt or anything. Man, I was a virgin that night. Okay? And I don't know how long that's... I don't know how much longer that can play. But how does he go back to judging other human beings on the 12th or on the D.C. Circuit after this?
Well, he can, because he's a judge.
And because he can only be removed by impeachment.
Well, this hope was his.
And so he's gonna, right? I mean, he's gonna.
Well, listen, he's gonna have to. He's got a lot to deal with. I mean, I feel sorry for him. He's got a lot to do. But what I hope is that these investigations, you know, it's too late now. They're going to carry forward. Even if this guy gets nominated, even if he does, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think he will now. I really don't. But if he will not. I mean, and he knows now. It's too deep. The investigation, he'll end up being impeached because we're going to take the House. You know, Democrats will have the House. So, you know, but at the same time, this is like a big deal for these people. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't dare put on the tattered purple robe with the frayed applique moon and stars and the "Will Thee Kiss Me in the Dark, Baby" written in glow in the dark paint across the front. I don't dare, because this is. I mean, the best screenwriters in Hollywood can't say what comes next. I don't know, video? Audio?
See, you know what I'm seeing.
Oh, because we've got a community full of DJs, the Bruce Springsteen song I was thinking about was "Downbound Train."
Can you sing it?
"Now I work down at the car wash, where all it ever does is rain. Don't you feel like you're riding on a downbound train?"
Got it. Okay, yes, now I know that one. All right.
Jesus.
Got it.
Why'd you make me do that? That's embarrassing.
I have to place, otherwise I never would have been able to, I was not a huge Springsteen fan, but I had to get a few chords in to figure out where that was coming from. Just being honest. That's, you know, that's it.
Well, see, I can't sing a lick, but I always wanted to front a rock and roll band, so, you know, I guess I'm just sort of working shit out here.
Yeah. You never got a chance when you were doing drama?
Oh, no, I can't. No, they do musicals, and I'd audition, and I'd go, so, you know, just give me the role of the guy who doesn't sing anything. Because I was guaranteed box office death in a musical.
Let me ask you this. Who is this right here? Who is this? "Bottle on, baby, 1 in 5. No one here gets alive now. You get yours, baby. I get mine. Da-dum. Who was that?
Oh, Jim Morrison.
All right. Now, where's the Funkadelic? Man, I'm just telling you. I'm serious. You can go from Jim.
Yeah, see what you did? Brother Deacon Asa just said, "Now I have to bleach my ears." Thanks for singing again, Kincaid.
And bleach it. Don't bleach it. Well, I don't know. You know, earwax is a mug. So, but that Kirk's Pure Castile soap will get the earwax out of your ears.
Mm-hmm. And it's pure and white.
It's pure. Oh, God. All right. So, listen.
Yeah.
The news, after the president, honest to God, I'm really not playing. This is the whole reason I really called, is that listening, 80 minutes, this is going to be the biggest thing on the, he is unraveling. He sounds crazy. He's letting his crazy out. He's just letting his hair down. He doesn't give a fuck now. He's just like, I'm letting my freak flag fly high. Funkadelic. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the one nation under a groove, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Well, anyway, it's really frightening, is what it is. It's a whole, but, okay, so back to, this candidate. I don't know. I think a lot of people have forgotten that this is a job promotion. This is not like something that's entitled to this person. And he should be beyond, like you said the other night, Caesar's wife's.
Yeah.
Right? Beyond reproach.
Yeah, you know? Cleopatra was Caesar's mistress, and she could do whatever the fuck she wanted to. Caesar's wife must be above, beyond, yeah.
Right, that's right, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think?
You know, I'm not kidding. I don't know. I mean, under ordinary circumstances, the first allegation would have been, well, okay, no, let's don't do that. But you're taking me towards something that I'd sort of thought about talking about, but I sort of hate to do it on your dime. But you've taken me there, and that is, you know, we're witnessing. There's gonna be a little bit of a historical. There's going to be a little bit of a historical deep dive here, Todd. Damn it, you're laughing at me.
I'm not. I'm looking at my phone. I have to plug my phone in because I'm going to have to plug it in. Okay. Deep dive. I have to charge the air tanks up. All
right. Right, exactly. Blow the tanks. We're going down. What we're witnessing here, you know, I've talked about constitutional crises and everything, but we need to be cognizant of the fact that the Constitution, they tried to deal with as many eventualities as they possibly could. But they didn't want it to be a down to the last jot and tittle kind of a document, because that locks you in and that creates more trouble than it solves. So it dawned on me that what we have here is humans fail, you know, sometimes institutions fail humans, sometimes institutions, sometimes humans fail the institution. And so, because I'm me, and everyone, you know, there's people out there that have been listening and think, oh shit, he's going to ancient Rome in 3, 2, 1. Yep. The Roman Republic and the unwritten constitution that ran it served very well for 200-300 years. Until the ambitions of men got the better of the Republic and they tried to subvert the way that the Republic worked. So you want, you know, because there was an unwritten rule that, you know, if you get to be consul, that's cool. We're going to carve your name in stone. We will refer to the year you were consul as the year that, I don't know, Abbott and Costello were consul. And you're not going to try to be consul anymore after that, because everybody, you know, all the rich folks are going to get a chance to at least try. They came up with this idea of the cursus honorum, the course of honor. And it was like a ladder, and you climbed it from ideal to, you know, the various and sundry different civic positions in the Republic.
Uh-huh.
And along comes a guy like a guy named Gaius Marius, who didn't have a 700-year pedigree like all the like the Claudii and the Iulii and the Ahenobarbi and all those other families. He's a bit of an upstart, Gaius Marius, and he claims that he went to a seer, a soothsayer, a prophetess, and was told that he would be consul 7 times before he died. And this drove him. And so he took an unwritten rule that had stood the test of time and trounced it and became consul time after time after time after time. And as he did it...
Like Putin.
Okay, yeah. But as he did it, all the things around him, because he failed the system, all the things around him began to crumble until you wind up in the aftermath of Marius with a guy named Sulla,
who thought that the only way he could correct everything was to go through and just kill the shit out of people, seize all their stuff, rewrite the rules, and try to put everything back on track. Because, you know, the Senate named Sulla dictator, and he went about his dictatorial duties. And Rome was racked by civil war, but he had... And the one guy he didn't kill was Julius Caesar, because people came and pled for his life, young Gaius. And he said, all right, I won't kill him, but in this man I see many Mariuses. And then he retired and went down to his little palatial estate and lived out his life. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as other people came in, they started trying to undo the rules that he had put back in place, mm-hmm. to try to get the Republic back on track. And then, Caesar grows up, and along comes Gnaeus Pompeius, and mm-hmm. then there's the richest man that has ever lived, Marcus Licinius Crassus. And between the three of them, they finished the job that Marius had started. And so that's a case of people failing an institution. Well, we've got the same thing going on here. Because it has not always been a naked exercise of raw ideological power. But beginning with something that was mentioned last night, the campaign that was spearheaded by Gerald Ford in the House of Representatives to impeach Earl Warren for daring to suggest via the Supreme Court that things like, well, that criminal defendants had a right not to be tortured into confession under the Fifth Amendment, or that maybe the schools didn't need to be endorsing particular religions by forcing children to pray particular prayers. Well, impeach Earl Warren, you know, and the John Birch said, he's a commie. And that's, you know, the early 1960s. Well, you move forward about 12, 13 years in time, you get past Griswold versus Connecticut, you get to Roe versus Wade, and the right wing goes out of its tree over the fact that a constitutional right was acknowledged, not created, but acknowledged, for a woman to see to the, to privately and personally see to the workings of her own reproductive system.
Oh my God. You know where you started with this?
Huh?
Do you know where your beginning data point was with this diatribe?
Ancient Rome?
And now you're at...
Roe v. Wade? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just checking.
Okay, but it's not starting at ancient Rome. It's two pages facing each other in a book. But up until roughly Earl Warren, Supreme Court nominations and confirmations had mostly consisted of a bunch of creepy old white men sitting around having a spitting tobacco juice at the big brass spittoon in the middle of the room contest, and then saying, well, okay, he can go on the court. What the fuck? With the exception of the blip when FDR tried to pack the court. But beginning after the rise of the Warren Court and things like Miranda versus Arizona, you know, the Miranda warnings, and, you know, when they took the prayer out in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you get pushback on Johnson's nomination of Abe Fortas. You get pushback on Nixon's nomination of Carswell, Crook. And then it all blows up with Bork. Because Bork was that moment where the white wing infrastructure that had been blueprinted in the Powell memo had its legs up underneath it and enough strength to really carry it. And it was going to be a naked exercise of political power solely for the purpose of overturning Roe v. Wade and getting the genie back in the bottle and the women back in the kitchen before they could do any further damage as the White Wing saw it. And that's when it all went to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of Bork, we got Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you get the nomination of Clarence Thomas. And we don't need to rehash that. But we've got a case of people failing an institution. It's not supposed to work the way it isn't working.
Right.
Or it's not supposed to work the way it isn't working.
People are supposed to be putting the institution over their party. This is why a lot of folks in the beginning of our country were not enamored by having parties, political parties.
Oh, it's why Madison. It's why it's the idea of faction scared Madison water boweled.
See, because look now look at the Supreme Court. It is fully politicized. It will never be this ever be the same. So now it's a farce. Really, it's a farce. And so,
by virtue of that farce, Todd, it's going to break. If it cannot already be said to have broken the system, because if it hasn't already broken the system, it will break it. Because look, we're progressive, we're liberal, and we wanted somebody on the court when fat dead Tony Scalia died. We wanted somebody on the court. That maybe we could count on to push back against the erosion of the rights of the accused, against the erosion of the rights to access to an open court, that sort of thing. Somebody who would not just weakly but proudly stand up for a woman's right to choose. And instead of giving us some flame-throwing liberal, Barack Obama... Wisely, or at
he
least
gave up milk toast. This guy,
no,
this
no,
guy was in the middle.
No, hold on. No, he did. It was wise what Obama did within the meanings of and within the operation of the institution as it had evolved. He picked a jurist who was acceptable to him, but had also proven himself as acceptable to 99.9% of Republican senators in Merrick Garland.
And that's fair.
And was sober and serious and could be trusted with the judicial business of the United States.
Like Sally Yates.
Well, okay. Merrick Garland was in the mold of the traditional approach to Supreme Court justices.
He
wasn't a Robert Bork. He wasn't a partisan ideologue.
He wasn't an activist judge, Bob.
Well, okay, if we want to, yeah, that's a loaded phrase, but yeah. He wasn't an affirmative action hire who had always hated affirmative action, who was also a rampant ideologue like Slappy Pubes on the Coke Can Thomas. He was just acceptable, and he would have done a good job protecting the money, which is the first job of any Supreme Court justice.
Well, he was middle of the road. That's what a judge is supposed to be.
But Mitch McConnell acted in the role of Marius.
I understand.
And broke all the traditions. And the question is now, if we get past the era of Trump, can we return to some sort of sober order? And so when you say what's going to happen and I say I don't know, that's why I say I don't know. Because the temptation is going to be great, Todd, to just stick it to them as hard as they stuck it to us. And it'll feel like justice.
Wow, you laid that out in a very nice way, because it is. I like the way you laid that out. You know, because it's really not about emotion. It's about, you have a group of folk who are willing, because of what they want, to subvert our system, the flow chart. They're willing to bend the rule, do whatever. You know, be Machiavellian about it. That they don't care. They're crazy, and the system was not set up for crazy people who would just do whatever to get what they wanted.
The system operated under the presumption that people would operate for the good of the nation and not for their own partisan political ends.
Exactly.
And that's not this country, Todd. Not anymore, at least.
I don't know about you, but I, every day that goes by, I see how powerful Mitch McConnell really is. I think he's the most powerful politician. He's more powerful than the president. Look what he's done. Look what he has done.
Yeah. I mean, he entered into a conspiracy on the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated, in which he said, "I don't care if Barack Obama." Wants to pass a law about rescuing kittens from burning trees, we will stop him. I mean, Trump complains about the resistance. The thing is, they just didn't put the word resistance to it, but the most effective resistance that has yet been manifested was the resistance that took place during the Obama presidency and was spearheaded by Mitch McConnell. I mean, are we clear on that?
Oh, wait a minute. See, that's why I brought him up, and because it was so disgusting. He actually, Mitch McConnell actually let the word obstruction come out of his mouth when he said, he is such a piece. I don't even know how he lives. I don't know why he's not struck down by lightning at least four times a day. You know, I really don't. Did you hear that statement he made?
I know.
It's flabbergasting. I mean, seriously, it's flabbergasting, because he was the one who said, "I'm going to make sure you won't turn president." And then he was the one who held up. Because remember, he has a lot of power. And see, I don't think he knows the rule. I think he has a lot of good staffers under him that they pound. Man, they know those parliamentary procedures. They're in the books. You know, he has a bunch of little short guys with the green visors, you know, and magnifying glasses. And speaking of that, and this is another tangent, but it's been on my mind. Are you being serious? Do you really have the dictionary, like when you go into a nice library and it's on a swivel?
Yes.
You really have that? Are you fucking serious?
I've got the compact abridged. Comes with a magnifying glass, 2-volume edition of the OED.
Wow.
Weighs about a ton.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's like 4 pages per, or maybe 6 pages per page, and that's why you got to use the magnifying glass.
Between that and the new cook station, I'm surprised you can get anything done.
Fun with the dictionary? Are you kidding me?
The words, when you just go down, it's like, ooh, I never saw that word. What is that?
I'm going to have to try to use that. I'm going to have to use that in a sentence, Lacuna.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you something. If I hear a word, I just can't stand it. Okay. So I'm just saying, there's people like that and there's people not. If people don't get it, they don't get it. I just can't walk around.
But if it doesn't stop fucking raining, I'm never going to use my cook station.
I've gotten to use it once. This is Ron Popeil's storm. Oh, wait,
there's more. Yes. I mean, autumn is supposed to be this beautiful, sort of kind of dry, a little bit of fire risk here in the hills, you know, and instead it's just, well, it's just the sky is gray and it's about 5 feet above your fucking head.
Well,
it's like gravity's just sucking the sky down on top of you. And you walk out the door and you're like, and you know, and I don't know about where you are, but when it's like this for days and days and days and days, everybody turns into fucking Eeyore. Thanks for noticing me. You know,
it's gray, man. You know, and then, you know, the leaves are going to get all this. It's already, well, it's musty around here. It's musty. Everything is mildewy already. It's like when Matthew was here 2 years ago, it's just terrible. It's raining. It's raining now.
I mean, that's one of the weird things about tornadoes. Usually, after a tornado comes through and blows all the trailers away and wreaks havoc over an area, you know, there's this terrible mess of splintered wood and scattered bricks and aluminum sheeting from the outside of trailers and stuff. But nine times out of ten in the aftermath of a tornado, the next day is just beautiful and blue and clear and sunny.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricanes aren't like that. But you're down there. You heard this dickhead talking about how, you know, God downgraded the hurricane. That,
let me tell you something,
wasn't much of a downgrade.
He doesn't. Come on. We hadn't talked about that he, you know, the world leaders laughed at him. And you know, he halfway got it. But, you did talk about that. But that's dangerous. See, that's the whole point. We can't have a weak skin of a personal mental illness. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I mean, I wish I was good at needle pointing or cross stitching or macrame or something, because, you know, I'd just open the mic on a Thursday and talk about the finer points of fucking macrame.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, this is not looking good at all. I'm telling, this is going to be in the news for the next week. I think, you know what? Honest to God, the mental health professionals, you know, like, I just have a degree, so what? But I'm talking about the people who practice. Like, I just work in labs and stuff. But the people who practice, they're coming out of the woodwork after this. He was unraveling. And I'm telling you, mark my words, I'm confident in what I'm saying. It was breathtaking. It was an exercise in displaying insanity. I mean, he's under a lot of pressure. You know, I don't know what he was thinking. It's too much. It's too much for him.
Well, here, let's, by the way, not far from you, David in South Carolina, Stan, with an observation. Subject line, mosquitoes. We have mosquitoes the size of 2-week-old kittens. You seeing a lot of mosquitoes, Todd?
Oh, Dave, yes. I'm glad. You know, it's a happier thought. Let me tell you something. And this is an entomologist's dream. There are insects here. I see a different type of insect every day, and some of them are huge and some are small. And dragonflies are not stupid insects. They will track your ass. They look at you like you look at them. They're fucking weirdos. I'm serious.
Wait a minute. Dragonflies look at you like you look at them. Okay.
Yeah, like you're out in the garden and the dragonfly's there and you're watering your plant and it's like, okay, dragonfly. Like, all right, you look. All right, why are you standing there? Why are you hovering right there? What's going on? And then you spray the hose and they come right back. And they're like, then they fuck with you. No, I'm serious, man. These insects here are outrageous. See, it's swampy around here. So Dave, yes. And, you know, yeah, he's not, yes, we're in the same, he's worse than I. He knows. No, this weirdo, man, I'm telling you, and some of these insects are like iridescent. I'm not saying they glow, but the color, like you can't improve on the colors in nature. Like this iridescent green, like the, you know, the kind of green shirt you might wear if you're a highway worker or something.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
Well, let me take us back for a minute real quick, because I don't want to, I kind of had this on a little list of things that we need to observe. I don't want to get, you know, as they say in the hoity-toity multi-millionaire for-profit media, you know, they use phrases like, he got out over his skis. Okay, I don't ski, so I don't know. I guess that's a bad thing, but I don't want to get out over my skis, mind you. But
okay,
if the Kavanaugh nomination collapses, we have to be cognizant of something, and we have to be ready to deal with it. And I can only pray that the Senate Democrats are ready. And that's this. That's going to trigger the right of the president to nominate somebody else.
Right.
Because he has that right as president, even though he is illegitimate.
Well, of course he is. He's got a list. He's just the next person on the list.
And don't be surprised if it's not 2 days or a day or the same day.
What?
Well, you know, Brett Kavanaugh is a fine man who only presses the best girls up against the wall and tries to fuck them. But the Democrats ran a con, a C-O-N con, to stop this good rapist from being on the Supreme Court. So I'm going to nominate Martha Barrett Coney, who's a religious weirdo. I mean, Brett was a perv and everything, but this woman's a freak. And I expect to see her. I expect to see her confirmed day after tomorrow.
No. You understand that, as you know, in other words, you speak Trump like I speak Trump. Trump gave up on Kavanaugh about 2 days ago. You have to understand how he speaks. Is that not what you felt?
Well, I think he's signaling that he can be pushed out of it. But he won't go gracefully. But what's important here is that the game here is to deliver a nominee onto the Supreme Court before November 6th. Now, so that means if you want to get all paranoid, and I'm not talking about weather machine paranoid.
No, I'm not paranoid. You're going where I want to go. I'm talking about this weekend. See, we're playing hardball. These people are scrappers.
So they've probably already got two or three people fully vetted.
And they're going to do that shit over the weekend. I mean, seriously. These people are like, okay, they're going to let us go through the motion. See, that's what I was going to say. This is like institution against what's right. And they, you know, I'm not trying to step on you, man, but I think we're going to the same place.
Well, I think we are, and all I want to point out, and all I want us to be cognizant of, is that he's going to be ready to go with another freak, and it is impossible because, see, they can't operate. They cannot. These godforsaken, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians cannot operate in good faith. They cannot operate with any sense of decency or morality or civic integrity. So they're ready with another maniac or five. And they're just going to keep racking them through the chamber until one of them gets onto the bench. And here, you want to go full bore paranoid, Todd?
Mm-hmm.
What if this whole thing has been a setup to get who they really want on the court, because they know that the Democrats will say, whew, well, at least we didn't get thrown into the briar patch. And then just kind of cruise through on whoever the next weirdo is. And I bring all of this up because I want to, we are, and I please don't misunderstand me here. I am not downplaying. I am not minimizing Brett Kavanaugh and what he has done. And he's a scumbag. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we have got to take, we've got to take these issues more seriously. We've got to take them seriously.
I don't understand how he got this far. It's so clear that he's a perjurer. I mean, but, we shouldn't be talking about women and sex because he's a fucking perjurer.
But hold on. The whole point here is that a president, because big picture time, a president who has been implicated in no less than 4 federal felonies should not be appointing the goddamn janitor in the halls of the water sewage treatment plant of the White House at this point. I mean, if there are rules to be made down the road, one of them is that. If you're implicated in federal if you're credibly implicated in federal felonies, your appointment power fucking ends.
Did you say big picture about 35 seconds ago or something?
Yeah. That's the big picture. Donald J. Trump has no business appointing anybody to anything. And so it's got to be all hands on deck all the way to November 6th, and if need be, all the way to January and the seating of, please, please, sweet fake baby Jesus, a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate.
Well, if we had a real Congress with people who talk, amongst themselves across party lines, that would be the case. That would be the case, because he doesn't have any business. There's just too much smoke, and when you listen, when I listen to that UN speech, you remember when we were growing up, the encyclopedia had like a plastic overlay when you got to the biology part, and you could see how the intestines wrapped over the bones, and it was like a plastic overlay.
I love those. They were so cool.
See, I knew you would. Because we like that kind of stuff. That's all I'm saying. So if you like it, you like it. If you don't, If you know what you know, you know. So anyway, so it's like this is Putin's over. This is like Putin's plan, but this is the Trump-Putin presidency. If you listen to what he was saying at the UN, he was like, he was antithetical to the damn UN. That's what he was saying. He was like, well, air out for yourself, be nationalistic, build up your armory, because we don't have anything to do with you. Don't look for any money. We don't want to see your little Tim Cup. Get the fuck out of here. Get off the corner. We're sleeping up. Get the fuck out of here. We don't want anything to do with you. And what that does is make Russia more powerful, makes China more powerful. It's exactly what Putin will want. This is like what, once again, Putin is on Trump's shoulder, like the good, like the devil and the angel, like on the in the cartoon. What I'm talking about?
Yeah. Hey, can I interrupt just for a minute? Because this is getting too weird to handle.
What?
So it was before I brought you on, and I was talking, it was just shortly after the top of the hour, and Sparky brought us victim number 4 of Brett Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
I got 4. Do I hear 5? I hear 5. You want to hear about 5?
Oh, shit.
Via Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, a 5th accuser from 1985 has come forward. Senator Whitehouse received a call this morning from a Rhode Island constituent, unnamed, who made allegations regarding U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. The person reported that early on a Sunday morning in August of 1985, a close acquaintance of the constituent was sexually assaulted by 2 heavily inebriated men she referred to at the time as Brett and Mark. The event took place on a 36-foot...
Damn!
The event took place on a 36-foot maroon boat.
Baltimore Harbor?
In the harbor at Newport, Rhode Island, after the 3 had met at a local bar. According to the individual, When he learned of the assault at approximately 5 a.m. that same morning, he and another individual went to the harbor, located the boat the victim had described, and physically confronted the two men, leaving them with significant injuries. The individual recently realized that one of the men was Brett Kavanaugh. When she saw Kavanaugh's high school yearbook photo on television over the weekend, he promptly reported the incident to our office on Monday morning, September 24, 2018. Kavanaugh said he's never been on a boat in Newport.
Mm-hmm. It could be the setup, Bob, because he's done now. He's done.
Well, that's five.
So now
we're involved in an intellectual debate. Because we are of an age, we all remember the old Tootsie Pop commercial. Mr. Wise Old Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the bottom of a Tootsie Roll Pop? Let's find out. A one, a two, three. Well, hello, Mr. Senator, Wise Old Senator Grassley. How many fucks does it take to get Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court withdrawn? Let's find out. One, two, three, four. Bite it already!
Man. Look, let's be honest about something. The fact that the GOP will not, the people who are in charge, Grassley and his cohorts, will not allow any witnesses. I mean, it's going to look so, but you know what? They're so craven. I'm not convinced that they won't just go. I'm telling you. The people have told us what the fuck they're going to do. I'm not convinced they're not going to do it. I'm not convinced that they don't have some dirt on somebody. I don't know, man. This is like, I don't think, you know what? I think this is the most exciting thing since Watergate. I was alive at Watergate. I was a little kid, but it was exciting. I know what everybody's talking about. I was paying attention. But this is some serious shit. This is serious. I mean, do we have, you know what, and this is what I want to ask you, because you keep talking about, like, in other words, what's the right thing to do against your party or the institution? You know, what is the right thing to do? And it seems like folks have lost their way. We've lost our way. And you know, no matter what, because I had somebody pose a question. It was like the juxtaposition between politics and corruption. And, you know, there's always politics. You can live in a little community on an island with you know, 15 people. And because of human nature, you'll figure out who's the leader. You know, it'll work itself out. You know who's the leader, who's not. And, you know, it will work itself out. Now, you know, the corruption comes in when people misuse their power. Now, and that's what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with just the chronic misuse of power. And it's something wrong with folk. You know, it goes back to what, you know, you love the mythology. And what was it, the Greeks, where everybody knew, I don't know, it was some civilization. I think it was the Greeks. Well, you knew at some point you were going to have to serve in some capacity in the society, okay? So you had to pay attention to what the hell was going on. But now we have folk who, you know, disengaged. There's no point, you know, because, the system's not working for you. A lot of people don't care to vote anymore. And, you know, and it's just working for the wealthy now because people are disengaged. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, you are. But I want to really, really hammer home the point that if Kavanaugh is stopped, the Democrats have got to hang. You know, they can't stop and party over the spoils of their victory. They have got to press the retreating Republicans and finish them.
We must push forward.
This seat must be held open because, among other things, Steve from Georgia Stan said What's to stop the lame duck Congress from ramming some freak through?
Exactly.
Nothing if the Democrats do not remain entirely united.
This is a constitutional crisis because Steve is. They can do this in a dead end. They have the vote. That's all that matters is the damn vote.
And see, I can sit. I can sit here and torture you. Here, let me. What if Mitch McConnell keeps talking this bullshit about we're going to have a vote, we're going to have a vote, we're going to have a vote, because he knows that Joe Donnelly, Joe Manchin, and Heidi Heitkamp are already in the bag, and that even if Jeff Flake, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins vote no, that he still gets on the court with them. What about that?
See, I feel like when I was asking
that's
you,
that
like,
evil that's that evil genius even, shit you were talking about that McConnell's capable of.
Well, that you see, it's some now we're into the skullduggery, and we know these people operate like this. We know for a fact. They have a dossier. They can pull that dirt out on somebody if they want to. Okay, and this is some bare ball ass knuckle. Man, it's gonna be some bleeding MFs after this, man. This is some crazy stuff going on. And over what? This is not because you want this guy to let the president off. This is a goddamn a promotion. If it takes this much, move on.
But see, remember, Todd. Kavanaugh was moved to the front of the line because he has always been a pure, vile political operative. There's no love lost between me. With me for David Brock, but he posted something, and our buddy John Britovo reposted it on Facebook. I read it earlier today. David Brock wrote an essay and posted it on Facebook about. Remember, David Brock was a member of the right wing sleaze machine. He even wrote a book about it called "Blinded by the Right."
Right.
And he wrote fairly extensively about. He said, "I don't have to know whether Brett Kavanaugh did the things he's accused of doing." He said, because I've known who he was since the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And he has never been fair-minded. He has never been even-handed. He has always been a pure political operative. And if you can go out and find it, it's worth your time to read. And he talks about the sleazy business he was involved in, you know, during the Clinton impeachment. And how once upon a time when they were watching, I think it was a State of the Union address or whatever, and the camera cut to Hillary Clinton and he saw Brett Kavanaugh mouth the word, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Are you surprised?
Well, of course not. Not even a little bit.
Let me ask you two follow-up things on that, on what you just said. For some reason, I've seen, like, read things where his income is not matching up with his debts, and all of a sudden his debts cleared up out of nowhere, like out of...
Sure they did.
You know, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I didn't really... People were saying stuff I didn't really understand until I read it, you know, and it's very simple when you read it. It's like, well... Why this is a big deal? I probably should have ended with this, but this is the big deal. That's a judge. We're talking about a paid-for judge. That's the last person. We understand paid-off cops and this and that. A paid-off judge? Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit, man. Come on. Come on.
I know.
What?
I know.
Well, anyway. That's how come no one's talking about that?
Because all of this other stuff is sort of taking our attention.
Because, see, you can prove numbers. That's either, you know, it's binary.
Right.
Either,
what's he doing? What's he doing living in $1 million house that the numbers don't support him being able to afford?
Right. You know, we can have all this conjecture about you touched her and she didn't, and she, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what?
He trafficked in stolen property, Todd.
Have you talked to Durbin? Have you talked to him?
But, you know.
He told me he left you 5 voicemails.
Oh, okay. You know, damn it. It's probably on an old number.
That's what happened.
But he trafficked in stolen property. You know, if that was, some dude holding a TV set, yeah, this guy just gave it to me. He said, you know, hang on to it. And he never came back, so I took it home for safekeeping.
That guy goes to
prison. Brett Kavanaugh gets nominated to the Supreme Court.
And
he's a hatchet man, okay? He would have fit right in, Todd, with that entire gang of creepy, scummy rat fuckers from the Nixon administration, many of whom wound up going to prison.
Oh, they're lined up.
This is the other thing about the fifth revelation. Revelation number one is, of course, unconsented to touching. Some people have said that has no statute of limitations in Maryland. I don't know. Number two is, you know, Deborah Ramirez partakes of sort of a dignity tort, maybe a dignity crime that doesn't apparently involve touching, even though people are going, kiss it. Number three, dig it. This is Wednesday, and we've had 3 new allegations. Number three came out this morning, and that's via Avenatti, a woman saying that at Georgetown Prep, he was a participant in the procurement of gang rape.
Mm.
Number four is the woman that he pressed up against the wall and tried to grope. And number five... And number five is different.
Uh-oh.
Number five is an outright rape.
Damn.
Number five ain't got no statute. Number five, to the best of my knowledge, in Rhode Island has no statute of limitations, and there is, and we don't have any of this highfalutin lace doily talk about you can't criminally charge a member of the Supreme Court. We only have that conversation about fucking presidents. You can damn sure deliver a warrant for arrest to the Supreme Court of the United States and haul away a sitting Supreme Court justice or a justice on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. You can perp walk their ass on a charge of rape.
Mm. Five. That's right. Oh my God! So now it's the point. It's hard to.
And remember the question. And remember over there when Roger Ailes' defender, Martha McCallum, was questioning Kavanaugh the other night. She asked, "So should there be an FBI investigation?" And prim and proper Ashley Kavanaugh got ready to say something, and Brett shushed her. And Darlene from Connecticut adds, Ashley is a fairly mousy and submissive wife. My impression is she was brought up in the prep school, finishing school tradition. She's only known Brett for 17 years. The 1998 bar incident was 20 years ago, so he was pushing 40 when they married. How horrid to think she inadvertently gave him 2 daughters. The goddess of irony is a cruel goddess and never misses a trick. I can't help but wonder if Brett is a zealot. He shapeshifts into whatever the circumstances warrant, which presupposes dissembling as a matter of course. He's a con, C-O-N, con, just like Trump. And by the way, for those who are keeping score at home, Todd, and may have forgotten,
mm-hmm.
There are a grand total, to our knowledge, of some 22 women who have accused Donald Trump of sexual assault or inappropriate sexual touching. 22. Oh. 22.
Okay. All right. It's so funny. Bob, do you remember one time you were filling in for one of your friends? And I went on this, kind of African-Jamaican diatribe of what it takes to be in the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You had to be an abuser of females. You had to be a liar. You had to be a cheat. Think about it. People who drink heavy, they don't want to be around people who just drink a little bit. People who are, different things, birds of a feather. I mean, come on. Everyone he's hired, just about, is corrupt. They have something going on. And I bet you there might be some pedophilia up in here somewhere. There's something else going on here. Because these people operate in close proximity. It doesn't add up. But anyway, Kavanaugh should be sunk. But like I said, I'm not convinced. These people, Mitch McConnell, already said, this is what I want. I don't know if he has the votes or not. I'm not sure. But who knows what he would do.
Well, he would not be driving forward the way he is if he did not think he had the count. Because remember, he's already set it up. And this was McConnell's doing, okay? This was not anything Harry Reid did. McConnell is the one who blew up the supermajority rule with regard to Supreme Court justices. So it only takes 51.
Right.
You got 50 Republicans and 50 Democrats? Mike Pence comes in and him and Jesus cast the 51st vote.
So look, we're back. How craven are you? Are they not going to listen? I don't know. You know what? I'll be honest with you. If I were Mr. Kavanaugh, if I were Judge Kavanaugh, and like I said before, I really feel like I really got the feeling when I looked at that tape, the Fox News tape, okay, and when he was giving his interview, he was really confessing. And I think he may crack at one point. He may break down and apologize. I think he knows and he feels sorry. That's what I gleaned from that. And you heard these reports, and I agree. Like he was robotic almost, because they were trying to get him away from the emotion, but it came through. And I think he's always been a heavy drinker. I mean, through his leading, he never slowed down. I remember when he said, oh, yeah, I had to go to the track and sweat it out and walk laps around the track, because, that's like you said, that's a plum job. Appeals, you don't get a whole lot of cases. That's a slow office. I don't know. I could be wrong. What do you think?
Well, no, I mean, it's work, but that's what the clerks are for. The judge tells the clerk how he wants the ruling to come out. If you're a right winger, you say, listen, I want our principles of constitutional originalism to bear this out. And it's a sort of Machiavellian ends-based analysis. You start at where you want. You start at where you want to end up, and you reverse engineer toward. Yeah. And Gorsuch does the same thing. That's how come you wind up with a black man being told he needed to freeze to death in his goddamn truck.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the one bit of conventional wisdom that I keep hearing. Is that, you got to be careful with this because they're going to piss off all the women and get their asses handed to them in the midterms. Where does this shit come from? Do the pampered, powdered panjandrums of the for-profit millionaire media not remember how white women voted in 2016, having been told with his own voice what he liked to do to women? Oh, wait, no. Some of them showed up at rallies saying he can grab my pussy anytime.
So we hadn't gotten to the Washington Journal update.
No, so wait a minute. So earlier today on MSNBC, they found a maggot mama. Maggot mama. No. They found a mama maggot who had her daughters with her and wanted to talk about the Brett Kavanaugh matter.
In Bozeman, Montana yesterday, NBC's Ali Vitale asked a Trump supporter and mother of two daughters about the accusations against Kavanaugh.
Groping a woman, which is, what is that, at 18? I mean, how many guys, you know, think that's no big deal? Even back then, it was,
yeah.
It's not a big deal. It doesn't just take away from his character and his job to do what he needs to do as a Supreme Court nominee. If he was pro-abortion, the liberals wouldn't be fighting this hard. We're all sick and tired of hearing about the Kavanaugh thing because it's not supported by any facts or evidence whatsoever.
But most importantly, a guy groping a girl and her daughters are sitting there nodding like their heads are on fucking springs.
No.
No, they're nodding yes. A guy groping a girl at 18, it's no big deal. I mean, maggot mama there would probably say, "Ooh, President Trump, grope me, MAGA, MAGA, grab me by the MAGA."
Good grief.
I mean, does that just give you the cold shivers?
It does, and it's not surprising. And, it's amazing that many of us can look at the same, whatever, same thing, same scenario, same snapshot, and like a Rorschach test, and see totally different things, where to some of us it's perfectly clear what's going on, and to other folks, it's like, well, stop beating up on him, and all you do is push his resist, and you don't understand, and it's like, well... And I mentioned this one time before, but apparently I had to mention this shit every time we talk. Is that it should not be in bad taste to mention how the rise of fascism started, because you got to remember this orange character. One of the first things out of his mouth was like, "The press is not fair." That was one of the first things out of his damn mouth. I mean, when he got serious about being on the campaign trail, but you know, this doesn't count the seating. You know, when he was when I say seating, it's like an aircraft seating, like dropping seat on the planes. When he was talking about Obama's not, you know, legitimate and this and that. So, you know, it's not like this is new, but you know, America is so fertile for anything because people are so stupid. And, you know, what do you do? How you fix stupid? I mean, nobody likes to be, "Hey, you're stupid." You know, that doesn't work.
Well, some of it also has to do with good faith. And we cannot make an argument in good faith. The good faith is gone out of this country as far as the GOP is concerned.
But that can't be trusted. I can't get over that fucking speech that Mitch McConnell said. They're obstructionists. This is, what, 2 days ago? I mean, less than 2 days ago. They had that they're obstructionists. I'm paraphrasing, but he said they have the nerve to jam up the system for this wonderful candidate. Nothing like this has ever happened before. You know, he's as bad as the president. But people like to hear good things. You know.
Oh, and remember, tomorrow's the day that he probably Rosenstein either resigns or gets fired.
Well, see, there's a whole lot going on tomorrow. Now, I want to see what's cool. This Avenatti stuff, that holds legal stuff, and it holds legal weight. And, oh, God. You know, why do we have to deal with, why is this necessary? See, we've gotten used to all this bullshit. This is what, you know, why aren't we taking care of what we need to take care of? And I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit irritated months ago, just like 3 or 4 months ago, during the summer. The president, President Trump, said, oh, yeah, and I'm going to spend, oh, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 6 weeks before the campaign for everyone. And the first thing I thought about was, when are you going to be working? You know, I mean, I know you want the votes from Congress, but when are you going to be working? You're already limited intellectually. You need, you know, all the time you can get. Because apparently you don't catch shit on the first fucking run. You know, people have to drill shit into your goddamn mind. Oh, anyway, not you. You know what I mean?
No, I do. I know. I know what you mean.
And I'm not angry. I'm not. I'm just, you know, I'm
it's exhausting. It's exhausting and it's frustrating.
What the hell is going on? Wait, who's running the country? That's the thing. And you look at all these books. Everything's corroborating. Everything is. It's like everything's the same. Everything's making. Everything is. Everybody's saying the same thing. Woodward, Tom Wolfe's book, even the mercenary. I bet you went down on him. I don't know. You know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. The black woman. You know. She's a mercenary, whatever. But guess what? She knows what she's doing. She's got her thing going. Everybody's saying the same thing, but it's obvious.
Oh, and today out of the so-called news conference, did you catch how he? I mean, I'm seeing some reporting on it. Did you catch how he responded? He told one New York Times reporter that she needed to thank him. But then he responded to. A Kurdish reporter as Mr. Kurd.
He was that's what I that's exactly Bob. I couldn't cut it off. I wanted to listen to something else, but then when I found out this was live, I'm like, oh my god, he's doing a live press conference. It's more than 5-10 minutes. Like I said, mark my words. The mental health professionals are going to come out again and say this is an exact. Exhibit of what we're talking about. He was inappropriate. Matter of fact, wait a minute. Talking about inappropriate. His whole spiel at the UN, that was an inappropriate venue to raise those types of issues and proclamations and what he was talking about. I mean, most of it was didn't have anything to do with the UN. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it. What did you think?
Today.
I mean, yesterday.
No, I know. And today, Nikki, look, I can't take anything seriously that Nimrata Haley says. I mean, I may be the only one who still remembers it, but the fact that Boris and Ivan of the Moscow in the Morning Zoo crew. Hoodooed her into believing in an imaginary island called Bonomo because she thought she was talking to the president of Poland. You know, when that woman says that, oh, no, they weren't laughing with him. They were laughing at him. They were laughing with him. No, sister. Nobody's buying that. They were laughing at the president of the United States because the president of the United States, after spending years accusing other presidents, and particularly one, you know, black one, of being a laughing stock, well, now he is one. And the walls are closing in, and the air is getting thin, and pretty soon that comb-over's going to be the world's tallest, thinnest fucking mohawk, because it's going to get squished flat when the walls finish the job. I mean, if it wouldn't keep, say, you know, uploads from uploading, you know, I'd queue up Willie Nelson and hello walls, you know, because that's where he is.
Wait till you, I know, because you've been working, you were doing prep and everything, and I mean, wait, some people will be like doing the best clips. And it was just, I'm telling you, I could not believe, I was like, wow, nobody, in other words, you remember that old-timey vaudeville thing with Shepherd's Hook or whatever, when they pull people off the stage?
Yeah, the hook.
Yeah. Look, I thought Shecky Green was going to come out there.
Shecky
was funny.
Well, yeah, that's what Ron and Raleigh Shecky called him. Trump. Shecky
that
Trump.
Was
yeah.
Yeah, he nailed that. I'm sorry.
Bake my wife, please.
And
now she's going to go and bless the rains down in Africa, going to do some things she never had the time before.
Oh, the vampire?
Yeah, yeah, Melanoma's going to Africa.
Oh, great. I mean, she's probably bringing
and she's
going to
and she's
going to
and she's going to and she her plane's coming in 10:30 flight. Yeah.
I don't know what to say about that. Well, anyway, Tracy's listening. Hello, Tracy.
The silliest well, one of the silliest lyrics in all of popular music, you know, the lyrics to. And the thing is, it's so engaging, and the hook is so cool, and it's pretty, and there's something vaguely romantic about it until you look at the actual lyrics and go, this doesn't make a lick of sense.
What, Asia?
No. Toto, Africa.
Oh, Toto. I read the same color. Is that Toto?
Yeah, it's Toto.
I thought that was Asia. Okay.
No, that's Toto.
Mm-hmm. You know, because we were too busy.
Hurry, boy, she's waiting there for you. This is Bob Sings night.
I can't do that. I am not doing
it. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Sahara's in Africa, and I'd bless the rains if they fell on the Sahara, too, but they don't. And something that Hung Like Jesus mentioned a couple of hours ago that really did merit mention, and even a cowbell. Went back when we were talking
Bitcoin.
About the hurricane machines and firefighter prophet Mark Taylor and everything. Hung Like Jesus said, do they ever think that Africa could be lobbing those storms this way out of pure hate? Because, you know, every hurricane starts as a result of weather activity off the western coast of the African continent.
Mm-hmm. We may never know.
Yeah. And by the way, I had a note in from Darlene in Connecticut, and I'd wondered about this too. The Rhode Island rape has an interesting twist because two of the victim's male friends confronted the rapists and beat the shit out of them. So there are two potential male witnesses right there. I wonder if that'll give the allegation a new level of credibility. Infuriating because a woman's word alone is never enough, but. Yeah.
Isn't there enough now to say...
I mean, what's next? It was 1985, so there's no camera phones or anything. And you don't. And when you're going to avenge a rape, you usually don't take your good Nikon with you.
You know what? At the same time, look, man...
This is the kind of stuff, Todd, that the FBI's actually good at.
That's my fucking point.
They
have a whole lot of personnel.
Yeah, and you time travel back to 1985 and you start asking people, did you happen to notice Brett Kavanaugh with a couple of black dyes and his nose caved in, walking a little funny, stinking of booze in Newport, in Rhode Island, in 1985?
Knowing you can't lie to them.
Right, and remember, you can't lie.
See, that's the difference. It's not like
I'm a big John D. McDonald fan. The Travis McGee series. I find it fascinating because you can watch all these mores change and watch the attitudes change because the series started in 1964 and ended when McDonald died. In the early 80s. And this is beginning to, especially the Rhode Island part, is beginning to read like a plot out of a John D. McDonald, Travis McGee novel. And remember, John D. McDonald is also the guy who wrote the novel that was later turned into the movie Cape Fear.
Yep.
Which geographic location has found its way back into our consciousness.
Yes. See, we're talking about near the water. And you know what happens, like Natalie Wood type stuff. And, you know, because he has a serious, I mean, this, we don't know that he has this past.
pattern. However, it's been reported that he has this type of pattern. Now, man, there are so many ways you can go with this. Which, you know what? Which, all right, let's use logic here. Which means that, oh, we have to investigate more because what is the rush? We left the other seat open for, oh, let's see.
270 some odd days. And, oh, yeah, and so I engaged in my filthy little habit this morning, and I caught John Neely Kennedy.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
And if the world wasn't so busy, the Twitter would have had a hissy when he – okay, so yesterday, yesterday, Chinless Mitch McConnell referred to the sexual misconduct prosecutor expert that they'd hired as a female assistant. Now, you busted your ass. You've been in this business for 26 years, and all of a sudden you've been demoted to female assistant. That's bad enough. John Kennedy shows up talking to Mika this morning.
To Mika, yep.
And refers and says, well, I mean, I don't want her to go all Catwoman or Batman. And all of a sudden he goes, or Batman or something. Mm. But Catwoman? Really, Senator Kennedy? Catwoman?
But wait a minute.
Catwoman?
He thought he cleaned it up. All right. Then he said, well, the fine prosecutor, we don't got none of the women down there, but that's a fine prosecutor. But then Mika was like, you know, like giving him more rope. Would you like some more rope, sir?
Yep.
And boy, he took that rope like it was licorice.
Great little moment.
So I still don't know. Now he claimed. See, I don't know where does she stand on that? Because he's trying to play both sides of the.
Well, he said, I just want to hear the witnesses, and if the witness is credible, I reckon I could maybe be a no vote based on what the little lady says.
All right.
But he also made the argument that we can't have just 8 people on the court because then you have tie votes. And that ahistorical horseshit just pisses me right off. Because there have been times when the court has been deliberately comprised of an even number of justices. Not because one died or quit or anything, but because that's how many justices Congress said they would have.
And I would hope that if we can get both houses, I would hope that we can somehow get more justices on the court. I think we need more. We need, you know, room for more people. I think it will be a better process. I mean, I really do. And I had one more thing to ask you, but I guess, you know, it's not important. Maybe somebody else wants to catch in.
Somebody may, but I mean, it
had to do with Kennedy, though. No, because it had to do with Kennedy. It was really, to me, it was like really telling and important. It was something that Kennedy, because that was real. Mika was like freaking out. She was like trying to be as nice as she could. She was like, you don't understand.
I was surprised she didn't go super cyan on him for Catwoman.
She is not taking any guff anymore, man.
But the best part of it was they went to a break and they ran this ad from the Judicial Crisis Network that said, you know, Brett Kavanaugh loves puppies and kittens and Jesus. And Jesus loves Brett Kavanaugh. And neither of them loves sluts who tell lies about Brett Kavanaugh who loves Jesus. It was sickening. So later in the day, over at MSNBC, they caught up with Carrie Severino, and Carrie Severino is this lovely, well-coiffed white lady, appropriately accessorized. And, of course, she's a complete right-wing turd because she works as a spokesperson for the Judicial Crisis Network, who doesn't really tell you where the money comes from or who's behind them or who gives them enough money to run ads every morning on MSNBC's most expensive advertising block. No. So later in the day, after they've been running these Jesus loves Brett, Brett loves Jesus, and we all hate sluts ad, they caught up with her to ask her about the whole Julie Swetnick allegation. Because, how bizarre is it when Michael Avenatti, who's been busting his little lawyer ass to build up buzz for this, makes the big reveal, and then boom, he just gets flattened by two more sexual assault allegations. But the fact of the matter is, in the affidavit that Julie Swetnick signed, Todd, she said there were at least 10, maybe more, house parties that Kavanaugh was involved in where there were gang rapes and druggings and punch spikings, and that eventually she became a victim of it. So then we catch up with Carrie Severino of the Judicial Crisis Network, and we get to, I mean, this is better than Dancing with the Stars.
Kavanaugh's nomination. Carrie, this new information that's come to light here over the last 45 minutes or so, does that change your support for Judge Kavanaugh?
Well, obviously, these are very serious allegations, and
because that's our talking point. These are serious allegations, but they're not serious enough to warrant the FBI or slowing down the process, because Jesus loves Brett and Brett loves Jesus, and everybody hates lying sluts.
The Ms. Swetnick describes is horrible. So the challenge here now is the Judiciary Committee is looking into it.
That's all, folks.
They said he teased these allegations on Sunday, but I've seen that correspondence back and forth, and they said, yes, give us some actual evidence. So now at least they have an affidavit here. The committee is going to look into, is there any actual corroboration? And if there is, I'm sure they will continue to probe into it. But we have to remember, corroboration doesn't mean I told someone a year ago or 2 years ago. It means actual contemporaneous evidence and things, because we're seeing a lot of claims, for example.
Whatever she comes up with, it's not going to be enough, because unless there's video evidence for a cell phone from 1980 when there weren't cell phones, none of this is going to be true, and they're all sluts, and they're all lying, and Brett Kavanaugh loves Jesus, and Jesus loves Brett Kavanaugh, and everybody loves Brett Kavanaugh's wife and kids, and goddammit, put him on the court so he can tell his wife and kids that they can't have any more fucking abortions!
Once again, you hurt Kavanaugh, you hurt Trump, you hurt the maggots, because they live through him. This is their guy. Whatever he says goes. That's it. They're the Borg.
I mean, he says about 45 minutes ago, so I'm guessing, you know, this is no later than like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and she's got the little IFB in her ear. And she's like, I am leaving this fucking studio. I'm going to go straight to a bar. I've got my swirly straw in my designer clutch. I'm going to haul that sucker out. I'm going to tell the bartender to bring me a bottle of fucking Patron, because I work this job, and I work this job really fucking hard, and I can afford the Patron, and I'm going to drink the whole goddamn bottle, because nobody told me that this was going to be what I was dealing with when I signed on for this, and I'm a woman, and now every woman in the United States is looking at me going, oh, well, aren't you something, sister?
Ford's account, that things are corroborated when what we're hearing is she told someone 30 years later. So she says she has other witnesses. Let's hear from them, and I know that's what the Judiciary Committee is looking for.
Carrie, should the hearing tomorrow morning be postponed?
Oh, just let me leave.
No, I think the hearing can proceed. They're talking about Dr. Ford's allegations. That has been for her sake and for the sake of bringing closure to that question. I think the hearing can proceed. Obviously, if Mr. Avenatti can come forth with credible corroboration, that seems like this is serious enough, they could always have more information from this additional accuser. But
see, that's the problem. When you're going out there to lie, there's a tendency to start talking faster. But when you start talking faster and the information isn't flowing as fast as you need it to be, and you know you're in a corner, and you know that you can only cover up in the corner so long before you take a shot to the head, even Muhammad didn't sit there and rope-a-dope all the time. You know, he danced a little bit.
Okay. This is what oh my God, I'm so glad you brought up corner because I really forgot this. This is what I'm concerned about. God, that sounded terrible. This is what I'm concerned about with the with Kavanaugh. I mean, like, if I was on his side, I would say, is that he has painted himself into a truthful corner, because now he's come out and said that, well, I never had sex and I really was a, no, I didn't drink.
No, I didn't have sex because I'm all smooth down there, just like a Ken doll.
But you see, so now it's not just about sexual assault or anything. All someone has to do is sign an affidavit saying, yes, we had sex. You know, and we had sex all the time. And one time he beat me. And that's coming.
Yeah.
Why?
And bear in mind, Craig Melvin over there at MSNBC just kept this poor right-wing hack dangling and spinning. And Jesus Christ, if she didn't do what she does for a living, I'd almost feel sorry.
There's no reason to pause the hearing that is already ready and prepared for tomorrow. I know Dr. Ford has gone to great lengths to be able to be there, so let's hear from that and then move forward. I think what we're seeing here...
Did she just refer to Dr. Ford as a that? Oh, Dr. Freud.
Could be.
Sigmund?
Damn! Bob, don't talk like that.
Here now is, unfortunately, though, another case of someone saying, hey, can the FBI investigate this? I thought Mike Davis's response from Senator Grassley's committee was very appropriate. Yes, of course. Here's the FBI's, here's the webpage. You can submit this. They chose, not even amidst all of these claims, the FBI needs to be investigating things. We have Mr. Avenatti breaking this on Twitter on Sunday. This isn't something where he said, I'm going to submit these to the FBI. No, he breaks it on Twitter again today.
You just heard Michael Avenatti say that he went to the Senate Judiciary Committee days ago, and that he went to Twitter because he essentially had not heard back.
He went to Twitter days ago, but that was the explanation
that was offered. Carrie, you said, I believe it was to the Hill a few hours ago, that you were certain that Judge Kavanaugh didn't do these things. This is now the third woman in the span of a week who's come forward with a claim of sexual assault or abuse or misconduct against the judge. Do you stand by what you said a few hours ago? Are you absolutely certain that Judge Kavanaugh has never engaged in any sort of behavior untoward with regards to women?
Well, with
and remember, this is all before number four and number five come out.
Holy cow.
And by the way, I have a special request. Let's see. Darlene says, I wonder if the Fox, if the faux Senator Kennedy, not Fox, I wonder if the faux Senator Kennedy is going to conjure Senator Howell Heflin, a Democrat, no less. By the way, a reminder, Senator John Neely Kennedy of Louisiana Stan was a serial candidate for Senate. He lost a race down there for Attorney General, too. And it was because he was running as a Democrat. But quick as he turned into a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-bendless, homosexual, Republican Christian, well, he got himself elected treasurer of Louisiana for 17 years. And then, in 2017, he got himself elected senator to replace Diaper Dave Vitter.
I think he's one of these people who thinks they're woke and they're really not. It's kind of uncomfortable.
Well, he's kind of fun to watch. He's good. He's good for a good turn of phrase. You know, Catwoman was pretty fucking awesome at, like, you know, 8:30 in the morning. I mean, I couldn't believe it, but apparently he's going to get away with it. I'm not saying she needs to go out there and go all Catwoman on Dr. Ford or anything. Batman.
No, wait, he's going back to this. I done did good. I showed them livers. I like y'all doggies. Now, they are my favorite doggies. Y'all know that, right?
Jesus, you had to go there. By the way.
Wait. What?
Darlene continues and said, I wonder if Hill asked Dr. Ford the question Heflin asked of Anita Hill with Southern drawl and everything. Are you a scorned woman? Darlene says, I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him.
No. She's a scorned.
No, see, if Dr. Ford is as sharp as, well, you know, you can't let it completely devolve into things that would just be pure entertainment. But it would be nice if Dr. Ford looked at it and said, oh, please, sex crimes prosecutor who has a long history of pleading men out who rape children, please don't go all Catwoman on me like Senator Kennedy said you might.
Oh, Catwoman. Oh, you know what? Wait. Catwoman. You know
this sex crimes expert prosecutor, she lets sex criminals walk. Just in case you hadn't noticed.
I think Catwoman, I highly suspect, now that you brought it up, now that you're talking about it, because this is how people think about things. You got to bounce ideas off of different people, right? I think Catwoman is probably the code name for Kamala Harris. Because remember, she made Kavanaugh look like a... Kavanaugh is not a good liar, number one, at all. He is really... When he, you know, he does come across as entitlement privilege. He is not a good liar because Kamala Harris, she dressed him down, you know, she took his clothes off. He didn't know what was going on.
Before we wrap up, I had a request from Steve from Georgistan. He said, I missed Washington Journal this morning. If we've got time, get Todd's Washington Journal update, please. So we try to be a full service radio network work here, Todd.
Okay. God, well, it was mostly the usual, like, folks, well, it was like, it was a lot of folks were really in favor of Kavanaugh, like push Kavanaugh through. And this is, you're just trying to get against Trump. You know, that's what I heard. And it was a lot of that. I mean, it seemed like the intelligent folk, they weren't around today. I don't know. No, I guess folks are tired. And speaking of Kavanaugh, and thank you, Steve, I hope you're doing well, man. I hope you are. And George is saying, yeah. But, you know, it's a couple of things about Kavanaugh I'm concerned about. You know, we used to have this thing we used to call burnout. I think he comes across as a burnout to me. I don't know, something's not right about it. And his accent, it would seem like someone of that stature, he could lose that southeastern Pennsylvania, like northeastern Maryland, that kind of plumber accent. You know, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not trying to be classist. I'm just saying. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Oh, I do. I mean, but look, you know, he was raised in the sort of circumstances where you don't need to lose it, okay? Because that's not the kind of accent that will get people to look down their noses at you. His daddy was a lobbyist, and his mama was a judge. He was, you know, born on third, thinking he hit a triple.
Dad, you hit the nail on the head. He just skated through because he could. His mom, like you said,
somewhere along the way, he had to make some grades. I mean, I got to give that to him. And Yale Law School is supposedly the best of the best of the best of the best, sir.
Okay.
I mean, it's not some—it's not some crappy little state school.
No, right. And you know, and it's so much going on, and I really.
I mean, it's not the Thomas Marshall Law School that Cohen went to. It's not that crummy state school that Don McGahn went to. I mean, this is fucking right. Yale. Now, bear in mind, of course, that there are now Yale students saying that, listen, even if Deborah Ramirez had reported what Brett Kavanaugh did to her at Yale, Yale would not have taken her seriously. Because he
he's
an upper crust admit, you know, he's a prep school admit, and Deborah right. Ramirez was busting her ass and working in the dining hall and doing, you know, odd jobs to pay her way through because she came from a public school about what 20 miles away in Connecticut. So she would not have been believed.
Okay. So let's get down to the leopards, because I know you have to go. And I understand what you're saying. I mean, you know, I mean, come on, I went to prep school. I could use my leverage, but I did what I wanted to do. But I got a great education. Weiss Hall at Temple, man. Look, Temple Psychology Department is powerful. Anyway, look. We have to look at this power move, though. See, this is a whole new dynamic we're dealing with right now. These folk want to get, they know they're going to lose the House after this election. They have to get this guy in. They have to get their person in. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you just pissed off the plumbers.
No.
This is James in Illinois. Okay, Todd, what's wrong with plumbers? Next time you have a broken pipe, call an English major.
I don't mean it like that. Just apologize.
Just apologize.
I'm sorry. You know what? You're right. Because when the plumber comes, boy, you're glad that plumber's there.
You are happy. There's going to be flushing going to return to your house.
That's the truth. And you know what? There's no way around that. That is the truth. The truth. Yep.
Yeah. Just helping.
I know. And as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, this is not going to sound right.
Right. But you didn't have Batman to fall back on.
He doesn't know. There's too many black marks against him. Ugh. Yuck. Go away.
Go away, or we will taunt you a second time. Or we will announce and identify a sixth rape victim. That ain't funny.
No, and see, that's the whole thing. He should have kept his head down. He's in trouble now. He can't get out of this now.
Mm-mm. And sooner or later, somebody's going to go out and find Mark Judge. I mean, he was last identified with a carload of comic books in Delaware. No shit.
No, I heard a reporter. I read on. I don't know. I was reading on CBS.
How'd you find me?
Right. That's all. It's the last thing I heard. Exactly. I don't know anything else more than that. So why are you running? See, that's the other thing. He knows what's going on. He doesn't want to be implicated. Because then he's going to have to tell the truth if he talks to the FBI.
Oops.
See, this is too much. So, listen.
Well, you may have just landed on it. And this, see, let me just say, this is why conversation radio exists. If it's all just linear, transactional, you don't get to any truths. But you may have just landed on it, Todd. The reason there can't be an FBI investigation, the FBI has never spoken to Mark Judge. The FBI has never had a reason to speak to Mark Judge. And if the FBI, and now knowing what we know about number five, if the FBI starts talking to Mark Judge, the House of Cards may really fall apart. Because once again, we're not talking about him not getting to be a Supreme Court justice anymore. We're talking about somebody coming for him with a warrant. Him and Mark Judge. And then it inures to Mark Judge's benefit to roll like a little red wagon on his old drinking buddy Brett.
Bill Cosby's in prison for less evidence.
Bill Cosby, well, Bill, not really less. It's just that the court didn't let every one of his victims testify. They only let like 9 out of 26 in.
I know. He probably did something, but my point is this.
Well, apparently he was doing, he and Brett and Mark were all doing the same thing. You know, a little crushed up Quaalude in the hunch punch, and it's rapey time.
But, right, and it sounds like that. But what I'm saying is that, why they choose Constance? Now, remember, I'm a Temple alum. I know of this woman. I'm a Temple alum. Not only did I work there for 10 years, but I got a degree from there in psychology. Okay? So it's not like I don't know what I'm talking about over here. Now, see, she stayed in contact with him. They had a settlement.
The settlement is what makes it easier to prove.
And that's the why.
But the larger why, Todd, if we're gonna put a bow on all of this and close out the program, the bigger why is the mindset. I mean, how do you address this? Everybody doesn't always want to have sex with everybody who wants to have sex. And you notice I said that without reference to gender.
Not about gender.
Sometimes guys don't want to have sex with some women. Some women don't want to have sex with some guys. That's why human sexuality works out the way it is, instead of somebody's butt turning red and then some sort of hormonal compulsion to go and copulate. And, you know, you see what I'm saying?
I do, and I don't. Understand what I'm saying. I understand that Bill Cosby is a sexual predator. What I'm saying is that for a black man, the criminal justice system was construed to make sure his ass went to prison with no physical evidence, even though it's like blatantly, you know, obviously he did this. That many women? Sure.
And we have yet to see what the court system will do with Harvey Weinstein. Because they're on different time tracks. Is there a different level of justice for black men and white men, for black people and white people? Absolutely.
We're talking about black men, white women, and drugs. That's as old as Methuselah.
You know, frankly, if the primary named plaintiff had been a black woman, I wonder if the outcome would have been different. And I wonder if that went into the calculation. This is by no means and in no wise any sort of a defense of Bill Cosby.
No, and I'm not defending him either. I'm just saying that it's a strange. If you follow that court, that was not. It's like a mumia trial. No, it was no. That's bullshit. But that many women saying that they were assaulted. What? That's crazy. My God.
Yeah, unless the guy's a serial sexual predator.
Right, exactly.
Which apparently he is, and there has been a court finding that he is. But what I'm trying to get to is to
be Machiavellian.
I know, but I'm trying to, we're running out of time very quickly. We've already run out. But I'm trying to sort of come to some sort of conclusion here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the question.
We're not going to come to a conclusion.
I want to know. Where the mindset comes from that leads to women being drugged and men too, a much smaller number, but it happens to men as well. It's usually other men doing it. But where, I mean, is it, I mean, it's violence, yes. But is it, does mommy,
I don't know,
you know,
what are they,
does mom,
lazy?
No, does mom, I mean, you know, I think Steve from New York said, you know, whatever happened to the good advice my mother gave me? Keep your hands to yourself and mind your own business.
That will
prevent a range of things from ever happening.
Listen,
was Brett Kavanaugh afraid that he was just such a hopeless neo-maxi Zoom dweeby that no girl would ever want to have sex with him? Is that why he couldn't get married until he was near 40 years old? I honestly don't know.
He has some issues. But
there are attitudes, there are cultural attitudes that go back. I'm thinking about a live recording once. You know, I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan. And there's a live recording about, there's a live recording of him doing Grapefruit Juicy Fruit. Or maybe it's not Grapefruit Juicy Fruit. There's another song where he talks about, you know, and it's all, you know, about being at the beach. And curiously enough, Kavanaugh's got beach week. You know, our buddy Michael in Madison earlier today said, Kavanaugh gets on the court. Kavanaugh gets onto the court. Michael in Madison said, I'm going to start robbing me some banks. Only every day that I rob a bank, I'm going to write beach week on my calendar. But it's a live recording of Buffett, and he talks about how, you know, she'll say, funny, I can't taste the alcohol. And he responds, that's right, and what you don't drink, we're going to pour on you. And that's a live recording from probably the 1970s, early 1980s to mid 80s, you know, somewhere along in there.
That sounds abusive to me.
Well, what it also sounds like is the exact same time that Brett Kavanaugh is doing this evil shit and Mark Judge is doing this evil shit.
Well, look, you know and I know. We're all these folks, we're all around the same age. We know that I've had to leave a house or a room where that was going on. You know that, and you probably have done the same thing, especially if you lived in a dorm. Like when a girl would come up, you know, they were giving away beer. My God, the beer was so, come on. And, you know, that shit happened a lot.
And this is in no wise a defense of Kavanaugh. I think that should be abundantly clear. But it looks like Mark Judge was the guy who was driving the bus and Brett Kavanaugh was his little minion. Kavanaugh comes across as a follower. You know, he was groomed by a federal judge to learn how to leak during the Clinton investigations. He was a protege of Ken Starr in figuring out how to ask the most filthy and lurid questions that now he's horrified and offended to find out are being asked of him.
See? And how come we're not hearing more
he's
of that?
He's a creep.
See, exactly. Those are the hard questions, you see. Now, man, I'm telling you, we got to harden up our party, man. Our people are not representing us. When I say our people, I'm talking about the Democrats.
Well, we're gonna find out. If this nomination can be defeated, we're gonna find out how hard they can work, because it is gonna this is only the opening skirmish. The ultimate goal is to keep that seat open until we can find out if there's going to be a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate, at which point the goal will be to tell Donald Trump, who has been implicated in no less than 4 federal felonies, that he doesn't get to appoint nobody to nothing no more.
Mr. Lawyer Man.
I'm not a lawyer.
If Donald Trump were a regular citizen, would he not be a person maybe out on bail?
He'd probably have been charged by now, yes. I mean, the feds don't usually let unindicted co-conspirators skate. No, they don't.
The only thing that's protected him is that White House, and that's why he was going to do everything he can to protect himself to stay in that White House.
Ding. We got to get out of here, Todd.
But they, I'm sorry. Who the hell is running the country? All right.
You know what? And that's the question of the night. Or more appropriately, who the hell's running the country into the ground?
Well, hey, man, I appreciate it.
Meanwhile, out in Montana, I hope to God that nobody in those poor little girls' town has seen her mama, has seen their mama saying they don't mind if the boys grope her daughters. Or more importantly, maybe Child Protective Services should show up and say, are you suggesting you will not, have you allowed your daughters to be groped? Do you really need to have custody of these children?
Wow.
Because failure to protect is, in most jurisdictions, an aspect of, I guess you'd call it passive neglect in the realm of child abuse and neglect.
We joke about that, but, you know, I never
I'm not
thought
joking.
About it like that. Like that. No, you're right. That's exactly correct, because children are we model. So here we have mothers and, well, let's say.
Well,
mothers.
Honey, if they want to, if they, look, you know, maybe someday a great man like,
grab
maybe
my,
someday a great man like Donald Trump will grab you by the, really?
And you know they're saying that, and you know. What
she
I said
it to a camera. Well, with a microphone on it, Todd.
And she's going to say that to her little, you know, if she has any kids, she's going to say, look, mama's on TV. Am I wrong?
No.
Damn.
And she's got her little handmaid, and she's got her little Handmaid's Tale daughters there, sitting there nodding when she says, well, boys are grope, you know, boys grope. And my heart just breaks. I mean, if I show this to Agnes, she's liable to be out the door and headed for moving to Montana soon, and you know, going all Catwoman.
Okay, it's the clear ground, right? Man, you said the most profound shit.
Todd, it's been a great conversation.
I
you have
your bubble in my esophagus.
It's time for that bleach shower.
Good luck with that. You know, that's why you can't keep any clothes. You got on bleachy holes.
Well, that's why the naked radio. Oof.
Oh my God.
As usual,
hey,
as usual, conversation radio wins again.
Hey, man, you hang in there, all right?
Hey, I'm trying. You know, all we can do is get up every morning and, you know, tape the eyelids open and watch in wide-eyed amazement at the magnificent horror of it all.
I'll talk to you later.
Later, man. See you, Todd.
All right.
We'll get back to talking barbecue one of these days if it ever quits freaking raining around here. I got such a hankering. But anyway, it's time to get out of here. Thank you to all of you who support the program. Thank you to our subscribers again. Thank you to those for keeping the program on the air. Thank you very, very kindly to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly to Sparky and Steve, moderators in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.